gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this 19th of November, 2025. We got a lot to talk about today. A lot of guests as well. We're going to be joined by Kenny Webster and Elijah Schaefer, hopefully. We were supposed to be joined by Elijah yesterday, and, well, I guess he'll probably tell the story about what happened today. So we got a lot to talk about, a lot of videos to show you, a lot of frustration with the Republicans continuing to boil over. We'll get into all of it. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 19th of November, 2025. Court pauses DOT rule seeking to push 200,000 non-domiciled CDL drivers out of commercial work. Not the most bombshell headline, but what it means is actually very important. It's yet another nationwide injunction from a court, which apparently I thought they were supposed to not do. I thought they were not supposed to be able to do this anymore, but they are doing it apparently. The U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia Circuit on Monday decided on a lawsuit seeking to block DOT, the Department of Transportation's emergency final rulemaking that sought to strip 200,000 non-citizens of non-domiciled commercial driver's licenses. In other words, this has been a major, major issue with the trucking industry being ethnically replaced with a bunch of foreigners who don't know how to drive and yet are able to obtain CDL licenses, commercial driver's licenses, and are a menace on the road and causing significant damage. So the Department of Transportation changed the law to disallow that, and now the court has intervened, apparently. Thanks. Wonderful. Again, I'm pretty much 100% sure the Supreme Court said that these district courts are not allowed to issue nationwide injunctions. Remember, under George W. Bush, in 8 years, they blocked about six of his policies. Under Trump, they have blocked 175, and we're not even a year into a second administration. So that's judicial abuse, and for the function of our government, we have to overcome that somehow. Meanwhile, House votes against censuring Democrat Stacey Plaskett over Epstein collusion. This is one of these absolutely infuriating things. It has to do with Corey Mills, apparently. So this is the woman that was receiving instruction from Jeffrey Epstein live during a congressional hearing where he was feeding her questions to ask and then congratulating her and patting her on the head when she did it correctly. They wanted to censure her and, you know, remove her from the House Intelligence Committee. But then apparently the Democrats were like, if you do that, we're going to censure Corey Mills for being a scumbag. And then we backed off. So now the woman who was receiving direct orders from Jeffrey Epstein while on the floor of Congress is still in the Intelligence Committee because we have to protect Corey Mills at all costs. It's ridiculous. Meanwhile, Trump ordered a report that found almost no evidence to support, quote unquote, gender-affirming care for kids get scientific seal of approval. Yeah, that's right. People with basic logic were right the entire time. Yeah, it turns out, after significant scientific research, they've come to the same conclusion that Bushmen in the African grasslands come to because, yes, men are men and women are women, period, the end of story. I'm glad it's taken us 10 years to come back to that obvious and self-evident reality. Again, just outrageous that we have to go through this. Meanwhile, from Politico, a peace deal as soon as this week. They're hoping to sign a peace deal and are working sort of behind the scenes to create a peace deal for Ukraine and Russia and are hoping to get this done quickly. People are calling it a secret deal, a secret peace deal. And we hope that there's success in this because, once again, we would love to be backing away from the edge of the cliff, not barreling towards it with everything we've got. That, of course, is your Daily Dispatch brought to you by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com has a new offer that ends Friday, November 21st. You get a free flag with every order, a free flag with every order. That's starting today. Every order placed will receive a free mystery flag, and we have a bunch of good designs of flags. I'd want to get any of them. Plus, you get that $10 store credit. So this is just on top of the sale that we had on yesterday. So go today to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Keep us on the air.
Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now because we have a sale running from now Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order, on top of all the other discounts that are there, gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, Ultramethylene Blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade, formula, bovine colostrum, the best, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to talk about today. Most of it is very frustrating because most of it is like stuff we shouldn't have to explain. We really don't even have to explain. I think it'll be clear what I'm talking about. See, a lot of times when we talk about conspiracies, you're talking about something that needs to be puzzled out. You have to figure out what are the real motives here? What can be done to counteract this? How do we confront and reverse engineer the, you know, psychological programming going on here? It's not really the case anymore. Now it's just the obvious thing to do and just nobody's doing it. And we just have to keep begging the people in power to stop telling us about all the crimes that are being committed. It's really kind of outrageous, actually. It kind of outrages me. We have multiple examples of major, you know, people in the Trump administration, like, you know, Stephen Miller and Pete Hegseth, and they're retweeting the video that we went off on a little bit yesterday, the video of the congressmen and senators and former CIA officers telling the American military, disobey your orders, and the intelligence community has your back. Don't worry about punishment for, you know, disobeying orders and being court-martialed. We'll have your back. Go ahead and do it. It's better safe than sorry. Just disobey your orders. This, of course, just a flagrant violation of the law. Just cut and dry. Couldn't be more obvious. We read out the statutes yesterday from the U.S. Code, 2387, I think it was, where it just says, you know, anybody doing this, like if you, you know, were to attach a file to illustrate the crime being enumerated in the U.S. Code, it would be exactly what we saw. If you encourage the military to disobey orders, it's up to 20 years in prison. And then you've got these people saying, hey, disobey your orders. I think you should all disobey your orders and we'll protect you when that happens. So why haven't they been arrested yet? Why haven't they been arrested? I'm genuinely confused at this. But even more confusing about all of this, it's not the fact that they haven't been arrested for blatantly breaking the law in a flagrant and infuriating way. It's the fact that the people who have the power to do something about it, who have been entrusted with the authority to move against actions exactly like this, are instead writing tweets about it. Pete Hegseth retweets this video with the term fourth stage TDS. Get it? It's Trump derangement syndrome. You guys heard this one yet? You know, when you've got congressmen in your government calling on the military to disobey the leader. You know what that's called? It's called Trump derangement syndrome. You ever heard of that? Yeah, real funny. Arrest them. What are you doing? Arrest them. No, fire everyone who is like this in the Pentagon and hire people that aren't like this. Like, what are we doing here? What is this? Again, it's like, it's so baffling. I really don't know what to say about it. I mean, the only conclusion I can come to is that it's deliberate. The only conclusion I can come to is that they are like literally just messing with us at this point. I can't figure out what other reason they would have for telling us this stuff. Stephen Miller writes out a tweet that is like, these people are calling for, find the actual tweet here so I can actually read it to you. But it is, yeah, you know, literally just unbelievably infuriating. I can't even find it now. I just, like, what are you supposed to say? Yeah, stage four TDS from Pete Hegseth. Thanks, Pete. Good point. Lives at TikTok. Elected Democrats just released a video encouraging members of the military to commit treason and defy orders from Trump's and Hegseth. Hegseth's like, they must have Trump derangement syndrome. No, they're committing a felony. No, they are committing a felony in telling our military not to follow orders. Why are you joking about this? Why are they joking about it? I don't understand. I really don't. And there's no explanation for it. There's no good reason for it. And Steve Miller's like, this is treason. I believe they're committing treason here. It's like, yes, they are. But who should we tell? Why are you telling us? This is actually the longer one that he actually put out. 10 years after the deep state Russia hoax, top Democrats openly appealed to CIA and military officers to engage in rebellion against their commander in chief. Do not underestimate how dangerously radicalized the Democrat Party has become. No, we know. No, we're perfectly aware. What are you going to do about it? Democrat, yeah, it's Stephen Miller. Democrat lawmakers are now openly calling for insurrection. Okay, and they sent Stuart Rhodes and others to prison for 20 years for an insurrection that didn't happen, for crimes that occurred. Well, honestly, I shouldn't even say that. Crimes didn't even really occur. People trespassed on the Capitol ground outside of regular visiting hours, and they sent Stuart Rhodes to jail for 20 years, even though he wasn't there and had specifically told people not to go inside on the basis of insurrection. These people have committed a felony, put their name to it, and the best we can hope for is the Trump administration, who we've empowered specifically to go after these people, will put memes on X and complain about it on X. You know, it's just like, what are we even supposed to say anymore? Are we supposed to do this? Is that why they're telling us? Are they incapable of upholding law and order and they need us to do it for them? We can. I mean, if that's the way it is, I guess we're just going full anarchy. Just no point in having a government anymore, because what are they doing? What are they doing? Honestly, it's unbearable. It's basically unbearable that we have to just continually suffer through this, but it just goes on and on. I'm going to go to clip 16 here. Katie Hopkins has a good message for us. I'm trying to lighten up a little bit, but honestly, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Like, I can't stand this. It's like over and 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 over again for the last 10 years. How long are we going to put up with this? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about James Comey in 2016 getting up on camera and saying, yes, Hillary Clinton did break the law in a variety of different ways, but we're not going to punish her for it. Thank you for your attention. And it's just like from that day on, I feel like it's just been example after example after example where we just have these people dead to rights, no ambiguity about it. I mean, it's got to be but I don't know what else to talk about. It's just the same thing over and over again. Like, I'm sure the audience is sick of hearing this, but like, until it changes, what are we supposed to even talk about? Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, in their own words, explaining that they were committing treason. Nothing happens to them. Just over and over and over. And it's just like, to this day, Bill and Hillary Clinton have been subpoenaed by the Congress to come testify on Jeffrey Epstein. They're both ignoring that subpoena. Now, during the Biden administration, Steve Bannon and multiple other Trump associates were sent to prison for doing exactly this. What is the point of our Constitution? What is the point of our government? And what can we do? What do you need from us? Like, I'm ready. I'm willing. Trump administration, like, you just let me know. You can't do it for some reason. We're more than willing to help. I mean, you have all of the money. You have all of the authority. You have, because of us, succeeded in attaining your current position of commander-in-chief of the U.S. military and chief executive of the country. What do you need from us? What more can we do for you? What more do you want? Do you want to just deputize us and we can just do it? Like, we don't need your investigations. We don't need your manipulation through the law court. We need justice, and we're not getting it. So what can we do for you, Trump? What can we do for you? What else do you need us to do? You have all the money. You have all the authority. You have the entire American military at your command. You have the House. You have the Senate. What more would you like? What more could we possibly give you? And we get nothing. We're just getting nothing. It's looking like the James Comey indictment isn't even going to stick. The one thing that we kind of got, you know, James Comey, the guy threatening to kill Donald Trump in Instagram posts, the guy who covered up for Hillary Clinton, the guy who ran the Russiagate collusion hoax, the guy who leaked all of the information to the New York Times, the guy whose daughter helped destroy the Epstein and the Diddy case, the swamp rat himself, we at least, in the last minute, got an indictment for lying to Congress for the least crime he's ever committed. We at least indicted him on stealing bubble gum, the traitorous, treasonous, deep state career criminal. We at least indicted him on stealing a stick of gum from the corner store, and that might not even stick. They might throw that away. What do you need from us, Trump? What can we do for you? What can we do? Do we need to drive down? Do we need to go to Washington, D.C.? Do we need to go put these people in handcuffs and hand, like, it does, we could literally truss them up like hogs and deliver them to the floor of the federal courthouse, and nothing would be done. It's like, I guess I'm just going to keep saying it. Because it's just the same thing over and over and over. And everything else, there's this unwillingness to take any steps at all, but certainly not the drastic steps that are necessary. Speaking of Stephen Miller, again, I've been the biggest fan of, praised him endlessly because of his rhetoric, but it's all ringing a bit hollow now. I don't really care anymore about what he says. Because they're not doing anything. And like, they're trying to make a big deal out of stuff that doesn't really matter. There's some ex-snowboarder that was selling drugs that it's like, I've seen like four different stories about it today. Pam Bondi's out there giving press conferences. And it's like, who cares? Who cares? There was an ex-Olympic snowboarder that was running a drug empire. Okay, neat. Who cares? Who cares? I've got guys getting convicted on felonies 45 times and then being let out to stab children. Like, even if you're just talking about, oh, we're getting all the street level criminals up. It's like, well, no, you're not. I don't know if people expect us to be like, wow, see, the FBI really is doing something. Fugitive Olympic snowboarder faces new accusations as feds raise reward for his capture up to $15 million. Oh, so they haven't even caught him. Sorry, I didn't look into this because who cares? But yeah, apparently they didn't even find him. Yeah, no, all grand jury members should see the final version of the indictment before it's officially approved, and failure to do so can be a significant procedural error. While grand jurors must vote to approve an indictment, the final revised document must be presented to the entire panel for them to review and vote on it. So this is what they're saying is messed up about the Comey indictment, is that apparently the grand jury didn't see the final indictment before they voted on it. Procedural issue. So, you know, I guess he gets to skate free. I guess he gets to go free. I mean, the reason that the process may have been imperfect in the first place, as we've explained over and over again, is because there was a deep state operative family friend of Comey who was deliberately sabotaging the entire process the entire time. So they put in somebody last minute. Lindsey Halligan apparently didn't perfectly check every single box in the 5 days that she had to try to get an indictment that supposedly had been worked on for 9 months at that point. And Trump is still listening to judges, even though the Supreme Court has ruled that they can't issue these types of indictments anymore. Like, what is the point? What is the point of all of this? What is the point of adhering to the nationwide indictments because you think it might be, you know, legally unsound to do otherwise, arguing it all the way up to the Supreme Court, getting them to agree with you on it, winning the Supreme Court decision, and then it just doesn't matter because the judges just keep issuing orders and Trump keeps listening to them. What are we doing? What is this? What is going on? How did we end up in a situation where, I mean, it's not even like a, it's not even a something to warn about or like something you have to find little examples for. It's just ubiquitous and constant. We really do live in a world where the Democrats just do whatever the hell they want. They break the law with impunity. They rewrite the laws. They just make demands that have no lawful basis, and Republicans just go along with it. Even when they're reversed by the highest court in the land, they just keep doing it. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Again, it's not like you can find one or two cases. Like, this is the frustrating part. Maybe back in 2016, you could point to, like, Hillary Clinton in particular and go, look how they let her get away with stuff. But now it's like I have 15 examples from today. I mean, George Santos was unceremoniously booted from Congress entirely because he, like, lied on his resume. Okay. Meanwhile, you've got Jasmine Crockett going up and giving a speech where she's claiming that Jeffrey Epstein gave money to all these different politicians. It turns out she just searched the name Jeffrey Epstein, and anybody with the name Jeffrey Epstein, she just assumed was the Jeffrey Epstein in question. And so reads out this list on the floor of the Congress of people supposedly in cahoots with Jeffrey Epstein who never received a single cent from the guy. Meanwhile, Stacey Plaskett, who only got her position because she helped Jeffrey Epstein hide his money and his misdeeds in the Virgin Islands, remains a representative despite being caught on video taking direction directly from the serial sex criminal, the convicted sex criminal, money launderer. And we can't kick her out. And you can't protest against the Islamic takeover in Dearborn without getting your jaw broken and the cops laughing at you as they let your assaulter get away. And the mayor blaming you for showing up there. And I've seen all the arguments, and I get the subversive elements of this. You've got Jake Lang carrying a big cross saying he's leading the, you know, Christian revival, and he's a Jewish guy who's gone to Israel and kissed the wall. And it's all this, like, you know, we don't need this. This is just creating conflict between Muslims and Christians to try to sort of perpetuate that narrative. But at the same time, somebody being provocative doesn't mean that they don't have rights anymore. Was it provocative to go have a Christian march in a Muslim neighborhood? Yeah, I guess it was. Does that mean that anything is okay to do to them? So now they can just get bashed in the face and they don't deserve protection? That's ridiculous. Why should it be that if you go and, you know, make it known that you're a Christian or a conservative in certain parts of this country, the police think that your existence is the provocation and you deserve violence? Your mere existence as a conservative person, if you're wearing a MAGA hat, it's like, well, I guess you deserve it. Do you think if Muslims did a big march in a Christian neighborhood, a bunch of Christians would surround them and start beating them and spraying them with mace, and the police would just stand by and watch it and go, well, you came into a Christian neighborhood. What were you expecting? You're a dirty Muslim and you came into a Christian neighborhood. Of course you're going to get beaten. You deserve it. So I don't really care if it was provocative or if it's whatever. It's illustrating the fact that in our country, you have neighborhoods where apparently you can just beat Christian people with impunity, and the mayor will laugh at you and the police will smirk when you ask them to arrest the person that just punched you in the face. Yeah, and he was attacked like multiple times. Physically attacked. Wait, show the punch one. I have the punch one. Clip 10, Muslim immigrants. I think that's the one we just watched. Clip 12. Watch clip 12 here. You tell me. He's holding a sign. He's walking and holding a sign. Then this guy slugs him in the jaw and runs into traffic. Does he deserve that? He deserves that, I guess. That's fine. It's his fault. He's holding a sign that says Americans, you know, against Islam or whatever. So therefore, he's abandoned any protection from the state, and you're allowed to hit him in the face and get away with it. You're allowed to mace him in the face and get away with it. You're allowed to steal his stuff and break his phone, and the police will stand there and watch it happen and go, well, you deserve it. You're the conservative, after all. You're the Christian. You're the white guy. So, hey, why don't you hide away, you know, and be silent, because any attempt to speak up or make known your dissatisfaction with the state of the world, you've made yourself a target. No one's going to protect you. Why is it like this everywhere?
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. that I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. Just soaking in the nostalgia here. Is this a music video for this song? Straight up. Looks like every single day of my high school. Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm trying to, you know, it's like if a fully geared up firefighter came running in and was like, Harrison, your house is on fire. I'm like, what? What are you doing about it? And they're like, yeah, nothing. No, your house is on fire, though. You should know. I'm like, well, you're the ones with the hoses in the water. Why are you telling me this? What do you want me to do about it? So frustrating. So very frustrating. Like a cop coming up to you at your store and being like, you know, that guy just stole a bunch of stuff and walked out, right? Like, no, what? I guess I should call the cops, but you're right here. You let the guy get away. What are we doing? What is this? What is this? And why do we insist on, like, trying so hard to, like, work with the people that hate us? We really go out of our way for no reason. The H-1B visa thing is an example of this. I keep saying this over and over, and they keep doing the same thing over and over. So I guess I'll keep saying it. Let's go to clip number 8 here. Stephen Miller again. Talking about how they're going to fix the H-1B system. Destroy it. It should be destroyed. We don't have to worry about all of this if it wasn't there. If it didn't exist, we wouldn't have to spend all of the time and money and effort to try to pass conditions to the employment, to try to saddle the people with the $100,000 whatever, to do investigations about the way the system is being rigged. It shouldn't exist. Why does it exist? Just get rid of it. Let's go to the video. Stephen Miller, clip 8. Here's him talking about how hard Republicans are working to maintain a program that nobody wants and doesn't benefit us. Let's watch.
Well, the president was very clear in the comments that you just played, which is that he's talking about the semiconductor industry, yeah, which is one of the most coveted industries in the world, one of the most national security important industries in the world. Very few other countries are able to compete in this space, and all of those jobs left for Taiwan. And so the advanced semiconductor industry, which is essential to our national security, has been taken out of the country. And so he's talking about a program in which you have a knowledge transfer to Americans of how to do a very specific manufacturing process. That's completely separate and apart from the fact, as you mentioned, that President Trump, through 212F, has put a $100,000 fee on new H-1Bs. We're already seeing a dramatic change in the processing of these visas as a result of that. The Department of Labor has launched Project Firewall to fight illegal discrimination against Americans and illegal abuses of the H-1B program. You also have the highest standard of vetting that have ever been into place in new visas, including foreign student visas. The State Department has revoked tens of thousands of visas, and they're just getting started with tens of thousands of more. Yeah. We have a new focus on denaturalizations. We have a new focus on cutting back on welfare tourism and welfare migration. And, of course, you've seen, again, for the first time,
yeah,
in over half a century, net negative migration to this country. You have more foreigners leaving the country than those that are being added on a permanent basis. The last time that happened, again,
yeah,
was over half a century ago during the period in American history in which we had net negative migration for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I think that the...
Meanwhile, over 20% of Charlotte school children absent due to fear of immigration enforcement. Locals taught how to help illegals evade ICE. Again, it's like, well, where is the evidence of anything that you're talking about? And again, he gets into H-1B visas and like, well, we're going to tack on this $100,000 fee on top of it, and we're looking into visas that could be revoked. And it's just like, just eliminate the program. What are we doing? It just shouldn't exist. It's like these old people that go to the doctor and they're taking like 15 different medications because all the medications counteract a different medication. But it would be that if the original medication that starts the domino effect prescription pipeline was totally unnecessary in the first place, right? It's like, well, you're taking this medicine and it's giving you hives. So I'm going to give you this other medicine to deal with the hives. But unfortunately, that medicine is causing all these other problems. So we're going to do half of this medicine, half this other medicine, and we'll deal with the side effects of this medicine from that. It's like, but you don't even need to be taking – but what happens if I just stop taking the first medicine? Nothing? Oh, I just actually feel better? Then I'll just do that. Why do we have this like we're trying to patch up and fix and repair and tinker with something that shouldn't exist in the first place? What are we doing? What is this? It's like we have a fancy brand new sports car, and yet we're spending all of our time and effort trying to fix an old junker that hasn't run in years and that we don't need and holds no significance to us whatsoever. Why do we have the program? Why are we spending so much time tinkering with a program that should not exist? I'm kind of playing this out of order, but this was the statement that Steve Miller was responding to. Clip number 9 here. This is Trump. Again, advertising H-1B visas, making the argument in favor of H-1B visas. Before we go to this, let me just quickly say Democrats have opened up their biggest polling lead over Republicans in 8 years. So anyway, let's watch.
to bring people to get those plants opened. We want you to do that, and we want those people to teach our people how to make computer chips and how to make other things. You can't come in, and I'm explaining, you can't come in, open up a massive computer chip factory for billions and billions of dollars like is being done in Arizona, and think you're going to hire people off an unemployment line to run it. They're going to have to bring thousands of people with them, and I'm going to welcome those people. Now, I love my conservative friends. I love MAGA, but this is MAGA. And those people are going to teach our people how to make computer chips, and in a short period of time, our people are going to be doing great, and those people can go home where they probably always want to be. You know, when people are born someplace, they tend to want to go, and we have the greatest country in the world, but they want to go. And
so, I mean, that whole thing was a little nonsensical. It's like, okay, if they're training Americans, then that's fine. But why would you have H-1B visas? It's just backwards. It doesn't make any sense. So you can't just hire people off the unemployment line. First of all, yes, you can. Do you have any idea how many highly educated, highly skilled people are on the unemployment line right now because their jobs have been replaced by H-1B visas? Have you ever talked to anyone in the tech sector other than the billionaires that run the company, Trump? Have you asked any of them ever what it's like looking for a job, what it's like training your Indian replacement when 200 of your fellow American employees are wiped out in a single afternoon because 200 Indians have been brought in by body shops that are owned in part by the CEO of the company doing the hiring and then getting a chunk of the salary of the people that they hire through the body shop that they own, with the credentials that are fake from the university in India that sells them for $1,000. Have you talked to anybody in the tech industry ever in America that has graduated college in the last 10 years? What do you mean we don't have people who can do it? Meanwhile, you have constant headlines like this. Microsoft announces U.S. $3 billion investment over 2 years in India. Cloud and AI infrastructure to accelerate adoption of AI, skilling, and innovation. Because remember, when these companies outsource, they often have to spend billions of dollars to train the people in these countries to do what Americans can already do or could be trained to do. But that's not what H-1B visas are for. H-1B visas are not for the person that you bring in to train Americans to make chips. It's who you bring in to run your call center so you can fire the American and pay the Indian person $8 a day. So if they want – so like this is the absurd part of it. He's like Americans don't have the skills, but simultaneously these same companies are spending billions of dollars to train non-Americans to do the things that apparently Americans can't do. We could be trained, obviously. And Trump is acting like that's what he's talking about, but that's not what he's talking about because that's not what's happening here because it's not what H-1B visas are about. And I haven't seen any companies recently putting out headlines about how they're spending $3 billion training Americans to work in the tech industry. But American companies are outsourcing to India where they are spending $3 billion to train Indians. So let's just not have this system anymore. Can we do that? Again, it literally just goes on and on and on. Anyway, we can look at some other stuff here. I don't even know what to like say about this stuff anymore. It's just we're just sitting here watching our side fail. Not because they're trying and just can't do it. Not because the Democrats are, you know, have this really powerful message that they're getting out successfully. Think about this. This is actually really important to understand, okay? Where's the headline I just had? Democrats open up the widest gap, biggest polling lead over the Republicans in 8 years. The Democrats have absolutely no one and nothing to point to. Nobody likes Chuck Schumer. Nobody likes Nancy Pelosi. Nobody even likes Hakeem Jeffries or AOC, really. They have done nothing of note. They have done nothing worthy. They've done nothing at all, really. Like, even if you're a far leftist, there's nothing that the Democrats have done to, you know, make you happy. There's nothing that they've done to substantially limit what Trump is doing. So the base Democrats have no reason to be happy. Think about the fact that at a time when the Democrats have no charismatic leaders, no bills to point to, no, you know, major event that they're standing up against, like some war Trump is starting, they get to protest. At a time when the Democrats should be at the lowest ebb they should ever be, they've ever been at, they have instead opened up a record lead over the Republicans. That's how bad the Republicans are doing. Is with the Democrats in the most ridiculous and incompetent class they've ever had, have opened up the biggest lead in nearly a decade because of how utterly unsatisfactory the Republicans are being. Is that not an eye-opener for Republicans? Is that not something you maybe want to really dig in and do some introspection over? A clear majority of voters would choose a Democrat candidate for Congress if the midterms were held today. A new poll shows, conducted between November 10th and 13th, it revealed that 55% of voters would elect a Democrat candidate compared to 41% who would opt for a Republican. The 14-point lead for the Democrats is the party's biggest lead since November 2017. In 2018, during Trump's first term, the Democrats won more than 40 seats in the House of Representatives in the midterm election. So they won more than 40 seats in 2018. And they're looking significantly better in a much stronger position ahead of the 2026 midterms. So we're not probably just going to lose the midterms. We're probably going to lose the midterms in a catastrophic way that will make it not just unlikely that anything Trump wants done ever gets done, but that they'll be able to put things through with veto-proof majorities, and they'll actually be able to run the legislature without input by Trump. His power as president is to veto laws, but not if they can, you know, pull off their shenanigans in the meantime. So, okay, you know. But great. No, we're going to build chips here, so that's exciting. I mean, not us, obviously, but somebody's going to build chips here. Somebody from another country is going to build chips here. And yes, all the money that they'll be getting from Americans who buy their chips will be going back to their home country, and the people building and employed in the factory will also be from another country. But, you know, the tax revenue will go to the American government so it can be redistributed to people that don't work in America and are burdens on the system, or overseas to people who hate us. Okay, so that's the good news. The good news is that we're going to let foreign companies hire foreigners to build things here so that the government can take that money and send it to more foreigners. So America first, you guys. Great. Trump's approval is down. His rating is negative 17 points, with 39% approving and 56% disapproving. That's down from negative 12 points in September. And so there you go. You're losing about 5 points every 2 months. Yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds about right. So again, I mean, this is, I wish we could say it's a surprise. I wish we could say this doesn't make any sense, but it actually makes perfect sense. And we've been saying this since before Trump was even in office. Like, they're not going to do enough fast enough. And at this point, they're doing the worst of both, where they are simultaneously not doing enough to get us into any, you know, meaningful new situation, while doing just enough to piss off and activate and invigorate the left. Really the worst of both worlds here. Let's go to clip number 15 here. Again, Charlotte, North Carolina is where they launched the latest series of ICE raids. And, yeah, it turns out, like, the entire city is immigrants, and especially the children. So here's one teacher from North Carolina, clip 15, talking about how three-fourths of his class did not show up because they were afraid of being deported. Let's watch.
Class typically has 16 students in it. We had four.
District-wide, there are 145,030 students enrolled in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. On Monday, 30,399 were absent, 28,136 unexcused. While CMS doesn't break down the numbers by ethnic origin, Gillespie, a multilingual teacher, did.
Children of parents from Angola, from Vietnam, but the students whose parents come from Latin American countries were the students we were missing. So that was kind of the line, even among the ML students, is that we were missing Hispanic students.
Yeah, because they're illegal. This should be a safe space. Charlotte teacher reacts to student absence amid Border Patrol operations. So as Matt Van Swole puts it on X, your property taxes are funding free education for illegal immigrants while your kid's classroom size explodes and your kid's teachers spend 50% of their day using translator apps to talk to students who can't speak English. I know because they told me this. This is traffic congestion in Charlotte before and after. It goes from all red to all green. So there are some benefits happening. That's only because the rats are in hiding. It's only because the illegal immigrants are like literally refusing to come out of their homes. They haven't actually been deported. Traffic hasn't actually cleared up. But it's like kind of a good symbol. It's like literally our infrastructure is not made to support the number of people that are here now. And our systems are collapsing and failing. Our school systems are failing. Our hospital systems are going bankrupt. And our infrastructure is crumbling. And we're paying trillions of dollars for people that have never paid into this system to use all of these things, usually for free. Because they're not paying taxes, because they're not citizens. Gee, what could we do about this? I wonder. You know what I'm saying? How like frustrating it is to just be like, the problem is illegal immigrants. We should deport them significantly more and more quickly than we are now. It ain't complicated. It's not hard. They're just not trying. They're literally not trying. Let's go to clip number 18. This again in North Carolina. Here's a man lamenting the lack of forward movement that's happening on construction sites in North Carolina because everybody employed was illegal. Let's watch.
Do you guys hear that? Yeah, me neither. This job right here, there's about three people working currently. It's just sad, man. It's really sad. Not one single person in sight. It's crazy, man. A lot of people don't realize how this affects the economy so much.
Oh, we realize.
I mean, who's gonna finish building this building if everyone that is capable of doing it
is capable of doing it?
Taken?
Who's gonna build the building?
On the bright side, for those that are okay with it, come work. There's a lot of positions that need to be filled and long hours and no AC, no heat. We'll be waiting.
Okay, well why aren't you gone? Oh, because you're a legal immigrant or you're an American. Great. So that's the delineation that we're actually concerned about here. Who is going to build the poorly constructed cookie cutter, the exact same apartment they've built 15 of within 5 miles of my house in the last year? I don't know. Maybe no one. Maybe we don't need that building. Maybe everybody in that building was going to not be an American anyway. And once you get rid of the non-Americans that are building the building, you don't have any non-Americans to live in the building. So you can just have a nice, field of grass instead. How about we don't need it? How about if you don't have the overwhelming numbers of immigrants to this country buying up the cheaply made, tiny, just poorly constructed and frankly ugly you know, studio apartment buildings so you can live like a bug. Like, we just don't need those anymore. How about we stop building those? No joke, I can think of 10 that have been built within 5 miles of my house. They all look exactly the same. They are all these just incredibly ugly and inconvenient apartment block complexes. And on top of the innumerable, gigantic, like clear-cutting former, you know, cornfield neighborhoods, suburbs being built up everywhere. Again, I just want to remind you, the American birth rate is below replacement, and yet we're building housing at such a rate that we're sucking the wells dry in Texas. Why? Why do we need to build so endlessly? Why do we need to create all of these things for people that aren't us and pay people that aren't us to build the things here so their companies that aren't us can employ people that aren't us to live in the buildings that we don't want and don't need? What is this? Yeah, it's extremely troubling that every single construction worker in North Carolina is illegal. That's the problem. Not that they have to go away now. Problem is that they were there in the first place. So again, this must be what like a doctor feels if they have a patient who comes in every week and just refuses to stop eating a double cheeseburger from McDonald's 2 times a day. You're just like, oh, you're back, are you? Oh, your heart now, huh? It's your heart now? Well, guess what I'm going to say. Stop eating cheeseburgers. See you next week when you ignore me again. Like, this must be what it feels like. Where it's just like we have the answer. We have the solution to the problem. And every week we'll come in with more issues, more symptoms, more negative consequences. And we'll just keep pointing back to exactly the same solution that has always been there, always been available, and never been actuated: mass deportations as a military function. Operation Wetback in the 50s kicked more Mexicans out of this country than the current operation. In the 50s. So don't tell me we can't do it. They don't want to do it because they're controlled by the lobbyists that benefit from these extremely low wages they get to pay. We're going to be joined by Elijah Schaefer in the next hour. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. You get a free flag with every order. That offer ends very soon. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. $10 off your order, plus a free flag. You can't beat that, thealexjonesstore.com. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bodies Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
say a couple of things to my friends across the pond who seem to be having a whale of a time of it at the moment, beating each other up. And if you'll forgive me, I am a foreigner, I'm an outsider, I'm a British person. You chased our British asses out of there twice before. You took our tea and you threw it in the sea. So I appreciate I'm not American. But from way over here on the other side of the pond, there are some things I observe. Firstly, is that of course I am far away. And when you're far away, distance lends perspective. And I see you all going for each other, beating each other up. And you know, I've known many of you since before you were what you are now. I've known many of you since you were at the back of the room when I was up talking. It's been a long time. That doesn't make me right. What it does make me is somewhat experienced about how this stuff works. And I get to see it firsthand over here because, of course, we really are up against it. So what I would say is that it's perfectly great that you all think a bunch of different stuff. So you may be on the Candace side of things. You may be on the Charlie side of things. You may be Turning Point. You may be a Nick supporter. Maybe you're a MTG person. Maybe you're a Laura Loomer person. Maybe you're a Crowder person. All of you different people on different sides of this duking it out. I would just say that you're still under the same umbrella. Have all those different thoughts. Have all those different opinions. Be what you would consider to be fundamentally opposed. But I can tell you from all this long way away over here that you're not really. You're under the same umbrella, which is that you want people to be okay. You want people to be free. You want people to have the ability to do well in their own lives, to be able to raise their family, to be able to look after their family, freedom and the pursuit of happiness. You're under that umbrella, surely. The second thing that I think is really important is that the internet pulls you towards darkness. You know, the darker the matter, the more clicks you're rewarded by. And I understand there's competition for clicks. People want to be number one at this or number one at that. But actually, whilst the internet and Twitter in particular reward darkness, I don't think it does reward our audience. It may drag their eyeballs to you, but I don't know that it's good for our souls. And if you're in any kind of spiritual warfare, surely it's the souls you're competing for. So to talk of darkness all the time may get you to be number one or the biggest this or have this many million views, but is it in the interests of the audience that you say you serve? I would question that. And of course, you'll find many examples of my darkness in the past, and then you'll see where I'm headed now, which is towards the uplift and the positivity, because I know our audience needs that. It doesn't make me right or you wrong. It's an honest observation. And another, I guess, honest observation is that politics is for snakes. In my opinion, all politicians of all descriptions on all sides are snakes. You have to be a massive twat spangle. You have to be a monster to be in politics. I acknowledge that. But whilst you guys are all busy beating yourselves up about Israel first, no America first, no MAGA, no MAGA's dead, MAGA's not dead. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Right? The choices were an aging man or Kamala, all puppets of Obama or Trump. Like, the choices weren't all the ideal choices you may have liked to have had. And I don't know who those people are because they don't show themselves when it comes to election day. The choices were black and white. The choices were this or that. It's a binary thing. You had a choice of Biden slash Kamala or Trump. So you can speculate all you want. You can have your opinions all you want. You can argue about Israel all you want. But your democratic system offered you two choices and a choice had to be made. And from my perspective, all the way over here as a foreigner and an outsider, please let me tell you, decent, ordinary Americans made a bloody brilliant choice.
That's the great Katie Hopkins from the UK. A message I think I particularly needed. And she's right. People around the world are looking at us to pull through this. We'll be right back with Elijah Schaefer. Don't go anywhere.
Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order on top of all the other discounts that are there gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a T-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart, and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, Ultramethylene Blue, cleanest, strongest, medical-grade formula, bovine colostrum, the best, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales.
The layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Second hour is on, and I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Elijah Schaefer. So as you know, yesterday, a little something came up. Maybe we'll dig into that here, because it's all has to do with the, I would put it as oppression that he's under, the abuse that he's under from our FBI and our FBI's girlfriend, apparently. Elijah Schaefer can be found, of course, on X at Elijah Schaefer, on YouTube at Official Rift TV. My bio here says you're a provocative podcaster, journalist, and online commentator known for unfiltered takes. As CEO of Rift TV, he hosts a popular show, Slightly Offensive, where he dives into controversial topics with a conservative lens. But, of course, you're sort of going through it right now, Elijah. How you doing? Hope you're okay and in a safe location, man. How are you?
Well, Harrison, it's really good to be on with you. Definitely have been doing better. Unfortunately, India got a hold of this lawsuit, the actual country, and they found an old tweet of mine that said, "I curse Vishnu, the fake god," and they're convinced that all this is happening because I don't respect Vishnu. I like to safely report that that has nothing to do with this. Clean up your streets, people, and stop pooping in them. And anyways, I just wanted to clear that up. That's been going viral the last 24 hours. This is a very serious issue. It's bigger than Vishnu, bigger than something that's fake. This is a very real problem with the federal government. I'm having friends turn on me, journalists turn on me, government officials accuse me of lying. I'm having character assassinations, people saying things that probably are turned to my own lawsuits, people claiming, you know, I've committed criminal offenses, harm children. One person even claimed that I harmed his 4-year-old and 6-year-old boy, and he'll go to court and testify throughout the entire year of 2023. Unfortunately, he didn't realize that I never even stepped foot in America in 2023. So he didn't realize I lived in Australia. So you have people willing to testify in court against me that committed heinous crimes right now, in countries that I never even was in. And so, you know, you have the bot farms, you have Israeli bot farms, you have, government agency, FBI, possibly bot farms, and individuals willing to lie under oath, to essentially try to put me in prison, all because I'm not shutting up. And I guess this is where we start, is that there's an attempt to silence my voice, my show. They didn't effectively silence Tucker. They couldn't effectively silence Candace or Fuentes. And so I guess they kind of went from the A-list down to – maybe I'm a C-list now. I guess I might have skipped the B-list – to the C-list commentators and thought, well, we can't bury them. You know, Candace has George Farmer's wealth. Tucker has, you know, his Fox News wealth. Fuentes is well-funded, self-supported for years. So I guess they're just going after who they think they can destroy that is criticizing the occupation of the United States government. And I'm the first one on the chopping block, and they're really mad because I'm not going away.
Yeah, and this whole thing is weird. And, you know, my wife is not really tuned in to political stuff. She's got good instincts, but she, you know, she's got better stuff to pay attention to, which is good because – every once in a while, you know, I'll have to explain to her what's going on, and it gives me a new perspective. So yesterday she asked me, like, oh, you know, how's your show? And I said, well, our guest had some problems, and I don't know if you want to get into what happened yesterday, but I sort of explained to her a little bit of what happened. And she's like, what? I'm like, okay, let me walk you through this. So Elijah Schaefer posted a picture of Cash Patel and Cash Patel's girlfriend, and it was in response to a tweet that was talking about how sometimes when you see attractive women with powerful men, it could be a honeypot operation. But he didn't say anything. He just, you know, posted up. It's kind of a cheeky, you know, reference or whatever. They sue him for $5 million. And then he goes to El Salvador for, you know, a work project. And then they declare him a domestic terrorist and put him through extra screening before he gets into the country. And then when you get here, you're being like harassed. You posted a video yesterday of some stranger knocking on your door. And like, as I'm explaining to her, it's hitting me how crazy this is. Cause when we're following it every day, it just sort of incrementally gets crazier. But then laying it out on a timeline, I was like, this is genuinely crazy what's happening to you and why you're the one being targeted. I guess I'll ask that question. I was going to save it for later, but do you think this has to do with your acceptance of the challenge by Netanyahu? Because Netanyahu basically came out and declared war against America. We're the eighth front in this information war. And, you know, a lot of people, it pissed a lot of people off, but you really like went back at him and said, you want to declare war, you know, bring it on. I don't want to mischaracterize you. But I was just thinking, why is it Elijah they're going after so hard? And I'm wondering if it doesn't have something to do with your, very bombastic response to Netanyahu. I mean, do you think that has anything to do with it? I'm just trying to figure out why they're treating you like this.
Well, absolutely, Harrison. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, something that I think you and I are very well aware of. You know, here I have Will. You know, he runs a great show called Zvrillium. He's amazing. He works at the network, and I wanted to bring him on to discuss this because he's been tracking the case in the background. But essentially, this lawsuit comes out for the exact evaluation of my small company. And I started my company with the purpose of being the first mainstream network. We were going to have the same quality, the same attention to detail, the same reliability and fact-finding. We just weren't going to accept Zionist money. So I want to clarify, we're not an anti-Israel network. We're not anti-Jewish. We're not anti-Semitic. We simply decided that Zionists in our country have the interests of Israel above the interests of the United States. And so we don't want to receive special interest money from people that are looking out for any other country than the United States. Okay? That's very important. You don't see Canadians in the United States, you know, Steven Crowder or Gavin McGinnis. You don't really see them advocating, you know, for Canadian rights above, the U.S. You don't really see that sort of thing. Now, it's not just Israel, right? You see, we have members of Congress, Somalian members of Congress that are advocating for Somalia, and I speak out against that. We have the mayor of Minnesota trying to come out and say he's, you know, for Somalia above the United States, and I condemn that. I don't support people like that, but Somalia doesn't have a lot of money involved in our politics. They don't have a lot of money invested in our media, so they're not really my target, right? So I said, we got to keep this out, and that is – it has pissed off so many people. People have looked at me in the face, Harrison, like behind the scenes, said, basically, you're not going to take the Zionist money? Good luck. With like a threat, like a grabbing me by the shoulder and saying, good luck. Because every organization is taking money from either the Zionists, which many of which are evangelical Christians. And I've said, I'm going to war with everyone that's not America first, right? Everybody who's not America first, I'm at war with you because I'm tired of accepting defeat in this country. I'm tired of being treated like a second class citizen for being a patriot. And I know the people watching this know this. You love your country. You love your family. You try to raise your kids, be a decent person. And what do you get in return for that? You pay taxes and get nothing in return to fight wars overseas that don't benefit us. The cities remain violent, like Irina Zarutska, may she rest in peace. We can't go to our cities. They're so unsafe. Your public schools are turning your kids gay and teaching them to be trans. On top of that, you can't afford groceries. And they tell you, well, inflation stopped. Yet food is 30% more expensive and you couldn't afford it 5 years ago. You can't afford it now. And you look at this and you're like, okay. You get discriminated against for being white. Your children can't get into colleges or grants because they're not, you know, feminists. Your daughters are not feminists. So then they're told to get an OnlyFans and you go, I'm so tired of this. I hate this. We live in the strongest and greatest and mightiest country in the world. Why does it feel like I'm living in hell? Right. Why does it feel like every time I ask someone what they're doing, all they're doing is working? I'm working, but they're getting nowhere. And I'm tired of it. And I realized it's because why? We are generating money. Our country is rich, but that's not what matters in our country. We are a casino to the world, Harrison. We are an amusement park. People are coming in and they are raping our financial system for their benefit. They are changing our holidays. We have people celebrating Diwali. We are not a Hindu nation. Erecting statues in Texas of demon gods. People walking around taking advantage of our social media profiles, mass reporting our reports from foreign nations. We don't just need physical borders. We don't have digital borders. We don't have financial borders. And we're supposed to sit here, take it. And the moment you speak out, you get called racist. You get called a Nazi. You get called anti-Semitic. And I've just said, look, not everybody's going to have a voice, but the biggest thing they have on us always is they say, oh, well, you're just a person in your basement. Well, I'm not a person in a basement. I work with a team of incredibly talented people like Will, who I want to bring into this conversation right here. These are extremely gifted young men and women who write at the will of their heart, at the blood of our ancestors to liberate us from our enemies. And yes, China is a threat. Yes, we do have to figure out the war with Russia and what that means for NATO. I understand we have cartel issues, but my God, man, our biggest issue in our country right now is that our politicians do not serve the people. And that's what you're feeling if you're watching this. It feels like your government works against you, but it's not trying to work against you. It's just intentionally not working for you and working out for someone's interest. So if something feels wrong, it's because it is. And I said, we're not going to take that money. We're not going to take the easy road. And we're not going to let them say we're in our basement. We're going to be professional and fight them on their battlefield. And I believe that this is the beginning of saying, you want to do that, Elijah? Well, we're going to throw the DHS, the FBI, intimidation. We're going to send people to your house. We're going to dox you. Your family's going to have to be relocated. And to spit in my face, my family's under threat. We had to evacuate our house. My family has to be at a safe house. I'm in an undisclosed location. I've got to travel the world to raise money. What does the FBI do? Doesn't offer me support. Doesn't look into my doxing. They offer security to the plaintiff in the lawsuit, to his girlfriend, using taxpayer dollars, allegedly, more of your money to protect their people. Well, a citizen like myself and my team are suffering under the mighty grip of the government. And it's disgusting.
It is. It absolutely is. And, Rift TV, I've been very impressed with, and been impressed with the sort of stable of talent that you're developing there. Will Sexton, of course, you're one of them. I've been seeing your stuff all over the place. Welcome to the show, sir. And, what's your take on what Elijah's been saying?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And big fan of the show always. I love what you guys are doing. My take on it, I put out a small statement about this, but I think it can be reiterated very simply, which is that I think people my age, I'm in my mid-20s, a lot of the people who are recently coming on to Rift are around the same age. A lot of us are simply just tired of the games of the deep state, of the control entity that exists in our country, that exists surrounding and wrapping itself around our government. I mean, here with Elijah, we have someone who's doing it by the book, who's doing it right, who's establishing his company, who is establishing his brand and his legacy, who has two young children at home, who has done nothing but speak the truth, be patriotic, and like he had said before, wasn't even necessarily starting this company from a explicitly anti-Israel or anti-Semitic perspective, but simply just saying, we would like to not take money from foreign influences. It could have been from anywhere. We don't want to take money from any foreign influences. We don't want any money from over here, over there. Doesn't matter where. We simply want to be an America first company. And that alone, that sentiment alone of saying we want homegrown, patriotic, non-interested news that is explicitly speaking to the American public on behalf of Americans, that sentiment is so damaging. It is so destructive to this sort of globalist narrative that exists in legacy media that, of course, we're immediately being targeted. Of course, it's undeniable that they would come after us. And so my interest in this case, what I have attempted to stress to people about this case is not even the semantic details, but what it says about the state of free speech in this country. See, the way in which this sort of lawfare exists is that what they are attempting to do is build a network of precedent. Mm-hmm. This is very important to understand about how the American legal system works. So the way in which the legal system works is that our courts are built on precedent. Basically what that means is that courts and judges will make decisions based upon the written law, and then those decisions will be used in further later times in order to render more decisions. A great example is something like Roe v. Wade or Brown versus the Board of Education. These are big decisions that were made, and then in future issues, judges can point to them, turn around and say, we've already made a decision like this before. Let me place this here in our new, rendering a new decision. And so what they're attempting to do here, I think they are well aware that trying to get $5 million off of Elijah and this new burgeoning company, which I hope that someday we can be worth $5 million, God willing. But right now, I think we all can agree, we're not worth if we're worth $5 million, I haven't seen a dime of that, which I don't know. That's a conversation I can have with Elijah.
Invest now. It only goes up from here.
Of course. No, of course. I think value potential were worth billions, but actual material assets, I mean, listen, we'll get there, folks. But the point is this, they're well aware of this. Anybody who has any kind of, skin in the game legal, anyone who has any kind of experience would know that clearly the company is not worth $5 million. However, what's going to happen here, most likely, is what they're attempting to do is build a network of precedent. They know that they probably couldn't win this case if they took it to court and just tried it as it was. The point, though, is to have this on legal record, is to have a decision rendered, whether it be in their favor or not, so that in future cases, they can go after even bigger figures. They can go after politicians. They can go after people of a larger standpoint, of a large value, and use this precedent, the fact that a court has heard this type of trial before, in order to target them. And what that ends up doing is that smaller fish like us, we're the first ones to get hit with this stuff. But I promise to everyone out there, whether you're from the left, whether you're from the right, whether your position is one that's rooted in nationalism, it's rooted in anti-imperialism, whatever it is, whatever your condemnation, maybe you're an anti-war person, all I know is that this form of condemning the state of Israel, of condemning the sort of Zionist entity, however you want to put it, it is going to become increasingly more and more banned to a point of them clearly attempting to make it outright illegal.
And yeah, so what they're doing. 100%. And look, not to no offense here, but I got to pull rank on you. They've already done this to a certain news outlet. I'm not sure if you're aware of. And the similarities between what they did with InfoWars and are doing with InfoWars and what they're doing with Rift are really stunning. Because you're exactly right. They are trying to set a precedent, which really makes me concerned for you guys, because it doesn't matter if the claim isn't legitimate. The claim against us wasn't legitimate. They always choose something that is different than what they're actually going against you for, right? Which is why I think I look at the way, Elijah, you responded to Netanyahu, and I go, that pissed him off, so they're going after him for this thing over here. They're not actually mad about this thing, but it's the method for us. It was Sandy Hook. For you guys, it's Cash Patel. They have the FBI be the point on our lawsuit. Do you know that? The people that sued us were brought together and organized originally by an FBI agent that we'd never mentioned, but apparently worked on the case. So the FBI using this is not out of the ordinary. And the really concerning thing is that they can hit you with a process charge of some sort where they demand documentation that doesn't exist. And so when you don't provide it, they say default judgment and decide against you. They've done it with Lindell. They've done it with InfoWars multiple times. They've done it with other people too. So it's a really dangerous, you talk about precedent setting, it's a really dangerous precedent that's already been set to where they can default judgment and destroy an entire media outlet because of a utterly fraudulent case that would have gone nowhere otherwise. The default judgment circumvents all the legal protections that we would otherwise have. So Elijah, I mean, I'm sure you followed what happened with InfoWars. Are you preparing
absolutely
with that in mind?
Yeah. So I want to say a couple of details here. It's very important. I talked to Alex about this. I've always advocated for InfoWars. I've always been a huge, surrogate of just using my resources. People that don't know this, I've always taken it under my wing to try to help people that are being canceled, right? Yep. So like Nick Fuentes back in the day, he was completely canceled. And some people even are mad at me to this day, or they hold it against me because they say, you helped bring him out of cancellation. I brought him onto Blaze TV, try to let people know he wasn't toxic, right? Because he's not. Right. And his message isn't toxic. I'm not taking any credit for his success or anything like that. I meant, I just wanted to be one of the many people to tell the public, like, this guy has some good ideas and maybe you should listen to him. And you're not going to die. You know, you're not going to melt like the Wicked Witch by having him on. Same thing goes with Alex, right? I have no credit for Alex's career. I'm not going to attach myself to that either, but Alex had a famous beef with Glenn Beck, who's one of the gatekeepers in the right wing, over his 9/11 comments and Sandy Hook. And I was able to mend that. That was a pretty famous big moment there. We did like, you know, 600,000-700,000 views on YouTube. You know, Glenn ended up giving him a picture and now Alex is, you know, helped him get back accepted into the mainstream. And so this is sort of like, I'm a very minor player, but the powers that be realize that I still have been effective. They hold that against me. They hold it against me trying to help Fuentes. They hold it against me trying to help Alex. And I know this because they tell me one of the individuals who's very powerful as a gatekeeper, I can't say due to my NDA, said, you have to take guilt. You need to repent for what you've done with Alex and with Fuentes. They literally told me that. You have to take some penance that you helped them out of cancellations, that you were a part of the vesicle that brought them out of the darkness, and you have to give an account before God. So there's a bitterness in the elites blaming me for sort of helping our movement in ways that maybe people wouldn't think because I'm not famous like Alex or Fuentes. But also on top of that, with your precedent, yeah, this is extremely, extremely important, because I'll tell you this. I've never said this on any other show before, but I'll leave it here because I know that InfoWars likes the original scoops. When I made that video, I had a couple colleagues that were in Israel at the time at the Knesset that were there in a room with Netanyahu, and one of his advisors actually played the video and played it for him and was like, yo, this is your friend, and like they played it. So I know that at least Netanyahu's one of his chief advisors did watch the video where I called them out. I don't have confirmation that Netanyahu saw it. I do believe that he was told about it, and they basically said, why are you friends with this guy? And my friend tried to defend me. He is a rabid Zionist. But he's a Christian, right? So we do disagree on Israel, but we unite under Christ, and so we're still friends into what's true. But you can disagree on Israel and be friends, by the way, people. You're allowed to do that. And essentially, he was like, dude, you know, they saw this, like, they're not happy about it. And some of the people that were there at that meeting, you know, have now even come out. They were calling me a pedophile. These are very serious accusations, you know. You know, talking about, oh, you know, making it sound like I provided illegal substances to children and things like that. It's like, these are very grave and heinous accusations. And then the guy comes out after making it seem like I was involved in some, like, you know, Epstein stuff, is like, you were at a party at a Turning Point event that was hosted by a 20-year-old. And it's like, okay, dude, sorry, a 20-year-old drinking a beer. I'm sorry, I didn't walk into somebody else's house and go, what's your ID? It's like, here's an AR-15. Go murder some brown people in Iraq. And then it's like, but God forbid you sip on a Miller Lite, you know? Like, it's like, dude, okay, when you say like minors drinking, you're at a party with minors drinking, a 20-year-old was having a beer at a party what, that's your accusation? That's the Jewish blackmail? That's what you're bringing up? You know? It's like insane. And then it's like, and then you go and you cheat on your wife with these students. Like, no. That's not what happened. And then the best part is he accidentally messed up in that accusation and goes, it was at a Turning Point event. So it's like, now you're accidentally, this is a PragerU representative accidentally blaming Turning Point for providing alcohol to like minors. So the Jewish blackmail stuff is like getting like sapped up. Now you ask yourself, why is it? People that, you remember all the bullshit in the past. You got those people coming out from Con Inc, character assassinating me, bringing up stuff from 2021, Harrison, 2022, coming out of the wood piles, saying that I'm evil. You have accusations of heinous crimes against children.
Right,
you
have substance abuse
crimes.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're about to go to break, and you guys are coming back, right? You're going to be with me for the whole hour. It's Elijah Schaefer, at Elijah Schaefer, at official Rift TV, and Will Sexton's with us as well. So we'll be right back. Please support these guys. They are trying to set precedent here, and they're trying to intimidate people out of covering certain subjects. We cannot let them. We have to maintain free speech. They're not doing it for us, folks. We have to do it. Elijah Schaefer is leading the charge. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, our ultramethylene blue is the best medical grade there is. It's so good for your body. We have nothing but rave reviews. It is so crazy good. But even if you buy it and don't like it, which we've had out of like 500 people I've given it to, 3 didn't have any effect. Every person on air I've given it to absolutely loves it. And it's so good for you. Super energy, within 30 minutes, no letdown, and you even sleep better on it. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. We have the best at theolivestonestore.com. And we have all the other great products. I know Irish sea moss doesn't sound sexy, or Shilajit doesn't, or bovine colostrum. Whatever's the best, whatever's the highest rated, whatever absolutely delivers, that's what we sell. So take action now. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, a lot of limited edition shirts, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters are also there at thealexandthor.com. And even if the globalists shut down InfoWars, which they got a state receiver trying to do right now, we're fighting in court. Whatever. We got the Alex Jones Network that's owned by Big League that I don't own, and the AlexJonesTour.com that I don't own. I'll just be the news director there. They can't shut that down. So you're keeping us on air at the same time getting incredible products. Folks, you are missing out. I'm not a hype man. They said the best salesmen sell good products. Well, I sell the best. Go to the AlexJonesTour.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order on top of all the other discounts that are there gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, ultramethylene blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade, formula, bovine colostrum, the best, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Don't know about it? You should look into it. We got the best. Ultimate sea moss. Don't know about it? Look into it. We have the best. It's like 40 milligrams per serving of two gummies or the capsules. That's like a giant bowl of Irish sea moss. Talk about, you think spinach is good for Popeye? Well, this is like spinach to the infinity. Ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. It's all there. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. So if you buy anything on the store, become a VIP. And if you're worried about stuff selling out, which stuff sometimes sells out for like 6 months. One time, sold out of the Irish sea moss 6 months. Because we have the highest standards, it's hard to get the ingredients. You sign up for AutoShip, they hold it back for you, and you get 50% off in the future order. You can cancel any time. So it's not much of a commitment when you become a VIP or a subscriber. You cancel any time. You just get all the benefits. But we know it's so good when you get it, you'll reorder. We have an 80%+ reorder on the Methylene Blue. Nobody has that.
Welcome to the AlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. Power up today.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Follow us on X at InfoWars, at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. And, folks, if you're wanting to do anything in politics at all, or media for that matter, beware the golden handcuffs. Beware the gifts that come with strings attached. Of course, the way we've avoided this at InfoWars is by having the InfoWars store and the AlexJonesStore.com. We, you know, just are supported directly from our audience. If you like what we do, you'll go to the store and you'll fill our coffers and we'll return the favor by expanding and growing and making more shows. And it's a very simple system. Now, it's harder now, I guess, to create this sort of system because I think people have recognized that if they aren't, you know, invested from the beginning, there's not a lot of leverage they have to get you to shut up. And so when Elijah Schaefer announced Rift TV would not be taking foreign money, well, that was an existential threat to the powers that be. Elijah Schaefer is my guest along with Will Sexton. You can follow Elijah at Elijah Schaefer and Will at Virilium Live. And then we have at Official Rift TV. And for people that want to support you, how do they find your legal defense fund, and how can they support you in your attempt to get out from under this lawsuit from Kash Patel's girlfriend?
Yeah, just so you know, you can go to givesendgo.com/Elijah Schaffer, ElijahSchaffer. You can also, it's posted on my X account. And I wanted to mention about that. You know, I have not, they are already lying, Harrison, to prevent people from donating. They, as in this establishment cabal, claiming that, you know, I have not spent a single dollar of this legal fund. And people are like, okay, you know, oh, well, you have money or you have this. First of all, my car got stolen from in front of my house, a brand new car, which had gapped insurance, not because I didn't pay, but because they said that I didn't update my wife's ID, which we said, wow, well, we told you shouldn't have an ID because a thug broke into our other car, stole her green card out of the car, and we're waiting for the government to replace it. So then the insurance said, well, you don't have an update. I go, well, the government hasn't replaced the card. How can we update it? They said, okay, then we're not going to cover your car. Now, you might be thinking, okay, cool. So, you know, I just bought the car, put like 30 down, and I was at 100 grand, basically lost my life savings there. And then you go, okay, whatever, that's fine. What's the big deal about that? Well, what did the police tell me? They stole the car in a 30-minute gap. This just happened a few weeks before all this happened. There's a 30-minute gap on a certain night when I go to sleep and my wife wakes up with the kids. They stole it in that time. I had two different hidden tracking devices in the car. This is a targeted operation, the police said. They found the tracking devices installed on the inside body of the car, removed them, and shipped the car out of the Miami port, allegedly, according to police. Police said it was so well orchestrated, so quick, that it seemed like, and I quote from their official report, somebody doesn't like you and somebody wanted to hurt you financially. That somebody, and that somebody might have orchestrated with gapping the insurance. I did not pay. They canceled my insurance with no warning. They just canceled it, for an arbitrary reason. So, and it had been canceled for like a matter of days, and then someone steals my car, takes out the tracking devices, and no one can find it. The police go, bro, somebody clearly, they literally said, watch your ops, see what's going on here. This is very publicly documented. So this just happens a few weeks before, and I'm told to get cameras. So I get cameras. They're like, somebody's trying to target you. Someone's trying to take you down. A week after my car gets stolen, I have the biggest contract of my life with Rift TV taken away from pressure from because of my views on Israel. The person goes, look, there's pressure from this group at the White House. They're telling us we have to cut off, you know, I'm tired of apologizing. They keep saying, you know, you're against Israel. Why do you have someone working with you against Israel? So the White House is pressuring media companies to cancel contracts with other media companies over the criticisms of Israel, right? You know, individuals like Jordan Satchel were also involved in this pressure campaign. He's been proven to be an op for Israel. He used to run Facebook groups for the state of Israel to manipulate suburban moms. You can go look that up. It's verifiable.
It's in the Lobby documentary by Al Jazeera. Yeah.
Correct. So my point is that the pressure on me was going on for a while. Now, I didn't mention this to Alex, but the reason why we found out about this lawsuit, the reason why we figured out what was going on is right before this happened, all of our bank accounts were canceled for Rift TV. Okay. They were all canceled. We just got a letter in the mail, and my personal accounts were canceled. I didn't know about it because my wife calls me. She's like, hey, I can't buy groceries. This is very embarrassing. What's going on? And then we find out, you know, I get a letter in the mail and they tell us that, you know, there's a federal flag on, our operations manager, Michael Hennessy, right? And so we're like, what the hell? And I have a friend in law enforcement, like there's federal pressure happening on your company and you've been flagged and they're using Michael Hennessy, your operations manager, as a reason to shut down your account. So I obviously get my accounts back open, remove him off of them, figure out what's going on. This is the same guy who got the Quad S, the threat designation status. So people that were saying this was a random act, the fact that, you know, we weren't targeted, I don't believe you because we are being targeted. He is under some sort of an investigation. We have evidence from the bank accounts being closed. The bank told us that there is some federal flagging. And also I have friends in law enforcement who have leaked to me. They did. They said, hey, there's something above my pay grade, but there's something that they've put on your guy. So they were targeting us for weeks before I found out about this loss. And then Josh Hammer's team accidentally leaks the information. Now, I told you, I knew Barry Wise was investigating. Barry Wise's team reached out yesterday and essentially is writing a massive hit piece at the same time on Rift, coincidentally. More coincidence, right? We're designated threats. Our bank accounts coincidentally get closed. We get sued by the FBI proxies. It all just happens by accident, Harrison. It's all by accident. And then accidentally, it looks like, we get a message from Barry Wise, and also there's this algorithmic credentialing organization that works for Google that is doing a random audit of our website to see is now going to downrank our stuff on Google because she said that, you know, they found some stuff of a guy I used to work with named Vigilant Fox that he posted some false information about COVID, and therefore our past association means that they can't take our site as credible despite not having anything uncredible on the website. This is insane. So that they downrank everything. This happened in the last couple weeks here all at the same time. So they downrank us in Google. Then Barry Wise is like, by the way, I'm just working on a random piece right now.
And for people who don't know, Barry Wise was just made the head of CBS News by Larry Ellison.
Correct. And this is Josh Hammer and Barry Wise are the two investigative journalists who were leaked information by the non-FBI proxy lawsuit people. So they're always involved. So Barry Wise, they reach out and I'm like, oh, my editor-in-chief, Earl, it's crazy. His name's Earl Gray. It's absolutely nuts. Like the tea. But it's crazy. I know, but his name's Earl Gray. It's very funny. So his name's Earl and he's like, hey, Free Press reached out. I'm like, oh, they want to talk about the lawsuit. It's like, no, they're writing an in-depth piece about how companies that are like spreading hate and causing anti-Semitism to rise and also spreading a lies about 9/11. I swear to God, I'm going to publish what they asked us. They're redoing pieces on people that are lying about 9/11 and dancing Israelis and whatnot. I'm like, what? It is 2025, people. Are we seriously still doing hit jobs on this? So now we have a giant hit piece coming out. We're deranked. Our bank accounts get canceled. We're getting put on Quad S. And here's the cherry on top. The official government account for the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security tweets out and accuses me of lying about the Quad S situation. By the way, she has no idea what screening we went through in El Salvador. The TSA isn't in charge of security in El Salvador, okay? So we did have severe – we actually had three checks in El Salvador to get on the plane, three checks. They went through everything, our bags. Then they took my friend behind a barrier. We got to the gate. They stopped us at the gate, right? They had to stop the plane from boarding. And so, like, she's like, you know, you guys never got threatened in security, and no one told you you're going to be detained. Now what? The DHS controls the borders of El Salvador? This is new to me, man. She then lies.
That's wild. She lied. The tweet from Trisha McLaughlin at Trisha, Ohio. No one from DHS Gov threatened you. Your producer's boarding pass included a random selection for extra screening, just like thousands of other Americans daily. There was no secondary screening, absolutely no arrest. And of course, she has absolutely no idea. And you filmed your security guard or your producer
operations,
your operations manager being let off for a second screening. So it absolutely happened. Will, you see the way that, I mean, this is a full court press against Rift TV, obviously, from a variety of different interests. Well, maybe from one interest, but from a variety of different media outlets and banks and all this stuff. Will, you're a young man. Any hesitation getting involved in this side of the aisle when you know the type of pressure that can come down on you, without any warning?
Absolutely not. If anything, I think this is what gives us the credentials that we have. See, the thing that makes Rift such a threat, such a damaging figure in the face of this difficulty, in the face of this establishment, is that we are moving fast, we're breaking things, and we are challenging the status quo in a way that only has authenticity. I mean, people of my generation, we see bannings, we see cancellations, we see debankings, not as a condemnation of one's character, but truly as a mark of authenticity.
Right.
Because real truth is dangerous to the establishment. Real truth is something that they will always try to censor and always try to push down and suppress. And so looking at someone like Elijah, looking at an organization like Rift, its history that it's now established, all you can see within it is authenticity. Right. All you can see within it is that we are simply patriotic Americans who are asking questions, who are utilizing investigative journalism, utilizing quality production, quality shows, actual writing. And we have transcended past the point of being able to be labeled as conspiracy theorists or as, insane people who are putting together things that are not actually connected. We are a true to form proper media company that is challenging the likes of organizations that follow the company line, that toe the rules of this sort of internationalist status quo. The thing is this, they fear us because we're quickly eating their market share, because young people out there are looking for this. They know that they have been lied to ever since they are children. And now they're looking for an organization like ours because they see that we are simply presenting facts. We are simply presenting questions that real, honest Americans have. And we are attempting to speak for the voiceless in this grander war against the status quo. And so they are attempting to snuff out Rift in its infancy. They are attempting to stop us where we are now so that we do not grow. But anybody with any kind of sense, whether it be in economics, investments, or simply just media narratives, knows that what Rift has is something completely undeniable. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, in any form of establishment or any ivory tower that is attempting to look down upon us and squash us. There is nothing that can get in the way of American truth tellers who simply wish to say, without any foreign influence, any foreign money, give me liberty or give me death. That's what we are at Rift. This is what we want to do. This is what we want to present ourselves as. And so all of this trouble, all of these difficulties, all of it to me, and I imagine to most of you out there, is very simply the mark of authenticity that Rift has that makes it so appealing. And it's why I myself, in my recent found success, which thank the Lord for, I wanted nothing more than to join Rift on its mission against the status quo, against all of these media narratives that are being constructed and utilized against Americans, against our freedom of speech, and against our personal liberties.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And it feels good, doesn't it? It feels good because InfoWars is the same thing. It's, what's worse than being attacked is being ignored, is not knowing that you're making a difference. You know you're making a difference when they attack you like they do. And of course, everybody wants to be the banned person. Everybody wants to act like they're censored. It's the phenomenon, right? Banned books. Look at all these banned books you get to read. And of course, it's all the bestsellers you can find at every airport and in every school in America. Meanwhile, the real banned people are over here actually making a difference. Now, Elijah, I know our audience is wondering what happened yesterday. We were connecting with you. We were like seconds away from bringing you on. Something happened. What occurred yesterday around this time?
Yeah, first of all, to all the demonic oppression out there, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we rebuke you. And I mean this genuinely. We thank the Lord for everything that he has done for us. Wear your crosses, guys, but live out your cross, right? Pick up your cross, carry it. It's not about showmanship. It's about authorship. It's about God authoring our lives, and it's about us taking our lives seriously. Don't wait to become perfect. Start living out the perfected faith. Look, you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have fears, but take heart. Christ has overcome the world. You don't need to be preachy. You don't need to be teachy. You just need to live it out and do life boldly. Okay. And yesterday was one of those situations. I was going to come on, and strange people started snooping around my property. I put up a little bit of video of one. There's a few more snooping around my house. Now, I was criminally doxxed due to this lawsuit. I know that Alexis Wilkins says that she was threatened. I'm glad she's safe, right? I'm glad that she's not, in any danger. But you have these weird people banging on my door, showing up, sending messages, even today. Now, people say these might be, people, servicing the house. Look, guys, Cash and Alexis, nobody's at the house, okay? So nobody's there. I'm doing your job for you. But they knew. So I had just gotten home from El Salvador, and they were tracking they're stalking my social media presence. Very scary stuff. And they started just sending people to my house in a very aggressive way, banging, yelling into the house, whatever. And then it come, my camera was recording it, and it was like, okay, what's going on here? And, then I'm realizing, like, I'm starting to see doxes going on. My cameras are going off behind my house, people moving around the property, and they're like hunting me down at my house, like taking pictures and doing very weird stuff. So, my counsel was like, you know, just stay away from that place. I've had to break my lease with a lot of penalties. Guys, I've had to move my studio and my business. These are not just basic threats. These are people talking about how to get into my house to rape my wife. These are people talking about how to skin my children alive. Like, this is very serious stuff going on here. And, you know, grateful to Alexis Wilkins that she has access to taxpayer funded dollars, allegedly, that she can get, you know, unprecedented amounts of security. But I tweeted this out yesterday, you know, Alexis Wilkins needs to realize that when you make a lawsuit like this built upon lies, and when you say that I said all these things about you that I never said, and then you paint me as an evil person because of my views on Israel, like I'm bad, right? You essentially are doing what they did to Charlie. You're basically telling people that I'm Hitler. People always say, you know, what if we would have killed Hitler when he was a baby? This lawsuit is clearly enough ammo for crazy people to want to hurt me and my family. And they're valid threats. And people would celebrate. People are waiting for, like, I can't wait till, you know, he gets killed and shot. And it's like, so what am I supposed to do? This is where the conflict of interest comes in. I have people trying to kill my family. People that want to kill me. And this is, you know, everyone always says this stuff. This is very public. This is very authentic. Extremely true. What am I supposed to go to, Harrison? This is what I want to ask you. When the FBI director's girlfriend is the one suing you because of her lawsuit, your life is in danger. Who do you go to for security help? The local police told me to call the FBI. That's what they said. They said, call the FBI. And what am I, as a citizen, am I supposed to feel safe to call the boyfriend whose legal team, his legal team is being used to hunt me down and ruin my company? That's the controversy. It's Cash Apps. You know, his mother originally was going to call him Venmo, but she went with Cash App instead. But his name is Cash App, Gupta or something. I have no idea, but that's his real first name. And basically it's like he's running the biggest enforcement of the executive branch. And he's the guy who's supposed to protect media figures from real harm. And we've seen with, I think it was like Christina Grimmie, and we've seen with Charlie Kirk, we saw with the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, the attempted assassination of Nick Fuentes. We saw with the FBI foiling the plot to kill Candace Owens. I have nothing but reason to believe, right? I've been beat up. I've had guns pointed at my head. All the stuff's documented. I've watched people get murdered during BLM. I've seen Kyle Rittenhouse shoot and kill people, though it was in self-defense. I've seen real violence and I've been around it. And I have two kids who can't afford to live without a parent. My wife's a stay-at-home wife. She hasn't worked in 7-8 years, you know, and she needs me. And my employees, we're building something. And the sad part is that now I have nobody to look to for protection. And now I'm being mocked. People are like, oh, you're running. You're this or that. It's like, I'm trying to survive here, people. I'm trying to live peaceably in my country. I didn't ask for this lawsuit. I didn't say anything defamatory. I did nothing illegal. And you know what I have to say? This is the worst part about this. And I end here. Even if I did say the things that they claim I said, verbatim how they said it, there's nothing criminal about that. So that's why I'm not doing this guilty thing like, oh, go after Sam Parker, go after Kyle Serafin. I didn't say it. Now I have the easiest case to fight because it's ridiculous. But at the same time, because it's so ridiculous, and there's nothing truthful to stand on for them, people have lied about me publicly. So now because of her thing, you got Will Chamberlain and Wyatt Claypool and these people trying to get Congress to do a FARA investigation. People are accusing me of being a foreign actor. People are accusing me of sex crimes. People are accusing me of being divorced right now. I'm trying to protect my family and they're mocking me, being like, oh, he's divorced. He's separated from his family. I said I was separated from my wife due to the doxing, and now they took the word separation, like, oh, he's divorced. They're mocking the survival of my children, my wife, and the thriving of my company. Will's salary, which is zero, no, but they're mocking everybody. And I have to say this. You can think you're mocking me. What you're mocking is the patriots of this country. You are mocking the people of this nation that have ancestors have died for this country and who are willing to die for this country. That's why America cares about this lawsuit, because just like January 6th, which I had trouble with too, right? I was investigated and harassed and intimidated and stalked, and a lot of people got a lot worse, especially those that killed themselves over it. I understand. I'm not the worst victim of it all, but we're tired of this, Harrison. We're tired, and we set the line here. You've crossed it, Cash. You've crossed it, FBI. We're not taking this any longer, and we're definitely not going to settle and ask for you to just back off. We're going to tell you, back the fuck off, Cash Patel. Back the fuck off, you and your proxies. Sending the Department of Homeland Security, trying to escalate this, getting journalists and friends to flip on me. Oh, I called the TSA and they said they didn't do that. Oh, I called McDonald's and they said that their ice cream machines work. You know, like it's stupidity, man. No, and I'm going to war.
It is legitimately terrifying. And we know from stuff like Tom Alexandrovich, who was the guy who tried to rape an underage woman in Las Vegas. He was an Israeli, kingpin, basically. And they let him out. So, like, the thing I'm sort of most concerned about is, like, man, if I go hard against Israel and friggin' Mossad kills me, I know my government will cover it up. I know the truth will never get out. And that's a terrifying, you know, reality that, you know, people can mock, but it's true. And we've seen it in reality. We only have about 2 minutes left. Will, final thoughts on everything Rift is going through and what's next for y'all in the future.
See, this is why we value so much our company being represented by Americans. And why we believe that media must be represented by Americans, that the narrative must be represented by Americans, because when the foreign, when the internationalists, when the sort of cosmopolitan attempt to be involved in our media, in our federal agencies, to them, they don't view the First Amendment as a godly ordained right written down by our forefathers in a way that needs to be honored and protected. They see it as an obstacle. Someone like Cash Patel, someone like the Israeli lobby or an organization like the Israeli lobby, they see our First Amendment right as an obstacle to be overcome. And so what Rift wishes to do is to remain being that obstacle, to only expand ourselves further as that obstacle against them and against their desire to control not just our policy, not just our foreign policy, our domestic policy, but control the narrative to truly win this war of public opinion. They know that we're winning. They know that what we have is truth on our side, but they're not even attempting to argue with us anymore. They're not attempting to debate with us or to try and disprove our points. They are simply trying to shut us and others like us down before we even get the chance to say what is true. So, in this time, all I can ask from people is to pray for the Rift, is to send their support to Elijah in this time, and to ensure that we all speak truth, that we all act as that obstacle against this cabal of individuals like Cash Patel, like Barry Weiss, all these people who are coming after good, God-fearing, honest Americans.
You're exactly right, and you hit the nail on the head there. They cannot argue with you, so they have to shut you up. It really does get down to that. Incredibly powerful stuff. And you can follow Elijah at Elijah Schaefer. YouTube is at Official Rift TV, at Virilium Live for Will Sexton. And give us that GiveSendGo URL one more time, Elijah.
Yeah, it's givesendgo.com, GiveSendGo.com/Elijah Schaefer. It is spelled ElijahSchaefer. Again, that's ElijahSchaefer. Thank you, Harrison, for fighting freedom.
Well, thank you. Keep up the great work. And we got to make this backfire on them. We have to teach them a lesson. If this doesn't work, we're only getting worse.
We have a sale going until Friday evening at midnight, where you get $10 off at checkout, no promo code, just $10 taken off on top of all the sales, and you get a free Patriot flag randomly. There's four flags we have left in stock. They're ordering more. Gas and flags, you name it. Get a free flag. But the real reason you want to go there is because the supplements are so incredible. And we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, t-shirts, all of it. But the ultramethylene blue, you're crazy if you don't get it. We have the best. It is such a game changer. Huge pick-me-up with no letdown. You've seen the rave reviews. You've read the rave reviews. This is not hype. You are really missing out if you don't go to theolivestore.com and get ultraviolet blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit. We have all the best. Oh, yeah, creatine came in. We have the highest quality creatine. A lot of just basic staples are there. The very strongest, best turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Great natural fat burner. Also makes you feel great. Ultimate burn. You want beef tallow? We got beef tallow balm. People love it. It's all there. Optimal Human. Wow. The best, strongest green drink out there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for all your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And when you have the free Droid or Apple app at AlexJonesApp.com and you buy through the shopping cart there, additional 20% off and everything on top of that. That's insane.
Happy Thanksgiving from the InfoWars crew. Turkey stuffing and some methylene blue. Pumpkin pie with a dash of whipped cream. Defeating the globalist is our number one dream. TheAlexJonesStore.com for your gifts. Fight Bill Gates, Fauci, and Shifty Schiff. Thanks for your support all through the years. Happy Thanksgiving and holiday cheers.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on, and very shortly we'll be talking to Kenny Webster. And we showed his video last week where he was confronting some communists in the park. We're going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk about communism. So I thought I'd start this hour with a video from Elizabeth Warren. I know, I'm sorry, I pre-apologize for showing you a video of her. But what it shows is that the Democrats are seizing on the economic unhappiness, especially of younger people right now, and they're making hay with this. And it is yet another warning, another shot across the bow for the Republicans. Do something for young people. Do something to rectify the economy so people feel like they have hope and can build something in the future, or else the young people are going to go to the Democrats in droves, the socialists and the communists in droves, because they at least are offering something. Even if it's a lie, even if we know it's not going to pan out like they say it will, they're at least showing empathy to the young people suffering. Here's Elizabeth Warren eating the Republicans' cake. Let's watch.
Look, first of all, the Department of Education was created by Congress. The president does not have legal authority to tear it down. But also, who wants to tear down the department that is there for our children? Donald Trump and his Secretary of Education have already done everything they can to dismantle the department that makes sure that our kids with special needs actually get the help that they deserve, and tried to tear down the people who are trying to help our students who are dealing with student loans. You know, any country that treats its young people as badly as the Trump administration is doing is a country that does not believe in its own future.
Mary Summers today said that he would be stepping aside from the OpenAI board. Is that enough?
Larry Summers has shown terrible judgment. I mean, like, historically bad judgment in his relationship with Mr. Epstein after it was publicly known about Mr. Epstein's criminal violations with underage girls. No one should trust Larry Summers' judgment, and Larry Summers should not be trusted in a position of responsibility or in a position of teaching our students.
Ma'am, what do you make of MBS being at the White House, meeting with Speaker Johnson today? Obviously, he's, you know, done plenty of bad things, including killing Jamal Khashoggi, but also Saudi Arabia is a prominent player in the Middle East. How do you balance that?
Look, I am deeply concerned that the President of the United States honors a man that our own intelligence reports show was involved in the murder of a journalist. The United States once led, not just on economic issues around the world, but on moral issues around the world. And Donald Trump is just burning that to the ground.
He's burning down all his goodwill. Again, Epstein, education, student loans, you know, the economy. I mean, these are real vulnerabilities for Trump. And again, I would love to see Elizabeth Warren back on her heels, you know, talking about like how all of her friends are being arrested for crimes they committed. But no, instead she's on the march. Instead they're acting aggressively because the Trump administration has done absolutely nothing to deal with all of the problems that we send him to Washington to deal with. Now, when it comes to the economy, I want to point out that we figured this out already in America. This is an advertisement from the 1930s or 40s. It's actually an advertisement for like workers' comp insurance, but it's from the Saturday Evening Post. The contented workman, the enemy of unrest. Anarchy is the child of despair, they say. Apart from the cranks, the money-lusting exploiters of ignorance, and the temperamental nihilists, nobody wants to go red. Nobody wants to be a communist. Men only go red if they are bitterly discontented. Let a man feel that he is oppressed and exploited, that his employer neither knows nor cares if he lives or dies, that whatever happens, he has nothing to lose, and he listens with conviction to the agitator's vindictive foamings and to the promise of the communist heaven on earth. But the contented workman, with his family, his home, his savings, sure of fair treatment by his employer, secure against accident, is immune to the virus of the agitator. Class war, revolution, blood, murder. What promise lies in the thoughts? What promise lies in those thoughts for the contented workman? Yeah, we figured it out, folks. In the 20s or 30s, if you don't want people to go to communists, you gotta treat them right and make their worth pay something. It's actually not that complicated. Go back in time.
Go to thealexshowstore.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order, on top of all the other discounts that are there, gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, Ultramethylene Blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade formula, bovine colostrum, the best, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales.
Hey, what's up? We're down here right now with a group of people who identify as socialists. Now,
communists,
even better. Let's count all the things the communists developed. The AK-47.
Yeah.
No, let's do it right here. No, what's the point? You need those guys to help you? You want to talk to me? I'm doing it right now.
I'll talk to you.
Guys, I was doing something. I'm not going to follow you on an adventure. Do you want to have a conversation?
If you're going to be rude,
I'm not going to be nice to you. You're a Marxist. Okay. You guys are the enemy.
You're going to be rude,
you guys are everything that's wrong with this world. You're parasites. You contribute nothing to society. You guys are bad people, right?
Okay.
Right now you're covered in clothing created in a corporation.
I don't want to speak to you if you're going
to. What is this? You guys are engaging people. You don't like this? All right. Here we go. All right, here comes the leader of the book club.
If you want to engage,
you guys want to talk to me.
Hey, if you want to engage in an intellectual and respectful conversation, I will have that with you. If you're going to come here and insult me, I'm not going to talk to
you.
I'm
definitely. You guys are parasites. There's no way we're not going to insult you.
Okay.
Parasite. Please move to New York City, guys. It'll be great. You guys,
you
contribute nothing. You contribute nothing. No, I can stay here. This is a public park, right? Hey, how's it going, guys? Look at this. Park parasite, right? Tell me one thing that communism's contributed. It's nothing.
We're going to look at the Bolshevik Revolution.
So thousands of people killed, right? Millions, really, right? God, more than the Nazis killed, right? A great accomplishment for Marxists. That's great that they did. And then what happened next?
And then what happened next?
And then they killed more people than the Nazis did.
Nazis. Killing Nazis.
Right. No, and then they killed their own people. Mao, Stalin, Lenin. These are not good guys. These are bad people.
Let them know, Kenny. All right, that video, one of my favorite videos I've seen recently, that is Kenny Webster. You can follow him on X at Kenneth R. Webster. He is the co-host and executive producer of the legendary Walton and Johnson Show, a stand-up comedian, writer, and Houston native. He can also be heard every afternoon on The Pursuit of Happiness. Kenny delivers unfiltered takes on politics, culture, and the absurdity of modern life on radio stations all over America 5 days a week. Again, you can follow him at Kenneth R. Webster. And in his spare time, he harasses communists at the park, and we love it. We love to see it. Kenny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Harrison, what is good, my brother? Thanks for having me on, dude. Always great to be here. I've been a fan for a while.
It's my pleasure. And I just enjoyed watching that video again. It was perfect. And my main comment about it is, like, how do you go to a park to hand out literature for something that you can't argue for 10 seconds. They have nothing. They don't know about it. They don't, but they're out volunteering their time trying to spread the message or something. They don't understand. Help me get into this psychology, Kenny. What are they thinking they're doing? Like, what's happening here?
All right. You know Texas real well. I know you've been to Houston before. Memorial Park's this huge park. This happened a couple weeks ago. It was right after Zohran Mamdani got elected. I jog in this park every day and I work out a lot and I never seen these guys out there before. They're communists handing out a newspaper that says communist at the top. It was almost like they were AI generated, Harrison.
Right.
I ran past them and they were screaming something about like, oh, kill all the billionaires or something. And I made some remark back. I was like, well, billionaires contribute more than you do. And look, this is not a defense of billionaires. I mean, there's a lot of billionaires that got rich in unwholesome ways. But, you know, Jeff Bezos is contributing more than these parasites are. So I stop and I'm like, are you sure you want to do this? And they go, yeah, engage with us. I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, because I don't want to use the language that they were using. But I take out my phone and they don't know who I am. They don't know I'm some morning radio rock and roll shock jock. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to light them up. And you know, as I wrapped up that conversation, I run around that park. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to run around this park as fast as I can. I'm going to see if they're still there. Harrison, they were not there. I did one more lap around the park. All it took was me to explain to them that their ideologies accomplished nothing. And I completely ruined their spirits and they went back to their parents' house to play video games and eat Cheetos, presumably.
You oppressed them. You oppressed them with your white male privilege. How dare you, sir? Yeah, it's just pathetic. I love his answer that the one thing the communists have accomplished was the Bolshevik Revolution. It's like, what? That's like if you ask me about what I accomplished, and I'm like, I ran over a cat one time. Like, that's not an accomplishment. It was a disaster.
Yeah, nobody had ever asked him this before. Like, what is communism accomplished? And look, I love an AK-47, dude. I think it's a great rifle. I just can't think of another thing. I'm sure there's something. I mean, there's communists have controlled vast geographic regions of the world for long periods of time, but I assumed they would know this answer. It seems like a very basic question. And, immediately they felt insulted. They felt bullied, which is weird because there were six or seven of them and they stopped me. I wasn't bothering them.
It's amazing. I just can't understand the psychology, like to care so much about something that you're going to go out. I mean, it's inconvenient. Memorial Park, it's not exactly in the middle of the city. You gotta go a ways to get to it. And, why you would do that for something that you genuinely cannot argue for 10 seconds. It's just mind blowing. But obviously there's more and more of them every day. I mean, Zohran Mamdani won in New York City. A communist is in charge of Seattle now. And my argument has always been, of course, young people are going to go to the people offering them solutions because nobody else is offering solutions. And it's up to us to make the argument of the reason the economy isn't working now is because of ABC, is because of BlackRock, is because of immigrants, is because of all of this stuff. And we can actually get back to an economy that works for you. But they're not making that. Republicans aren't making that argument. The only people that are making an economic argument are the socialists that are going, hey, see the billionaire insulting you? I'll take his money and give it to you. And that's convincing to people. What do you think we need to do to stop young people going over to socialism and communism? What arguments do we need to make? Where are we failing?
You know, Harrison, the system's so complicated and nuanced at this point. The end goal, in my opinion, the end goal should be libertarianism. But we can't just jump right into libertarianism. First, we've got a clean house. Anybody that's in law enforcement will tell you, 5% of the criminals are committing 95% of the crimes out there. Right. And as you just pointed out, I live in a state, Houston, Texas, where BlackRock has bought lots of buildings and lots of houses. And this isn't about free markets, because what they're doing, there's nothing free or fair. You know, if we were competing with a company or a business that was playing by the same rules as us, that would be one thing. But it's kind of like competing with communist China. They're not playing by the same rules. They're not even following the rules. So to get there, there probably does need to be different rules for individuals, people like you and I. You know, if in Texas, average humans like you and I were not paying property taxes, I think that would be a nice start. While BlackRock would pay double or triple for all the corporate housing they're now purchasing.
Yeah.
And that's a conversation I could have with the communists, right? But these young people in that video, they don't understand anything. They don't understand how taxes work. They don't own property. They don't have jobs. That skinny guy is there because he's trying to hook up with those two chicks. Right. And those two chicks are in that video because they hate their dad. So in some ways, you know, they didn't need communism to find each other. They just needed to join some weird sex club. And, you know, not for nothing here. That probably is how they met each other, Harrison.
You know, these things are often rather aligned, communism and creepy sex stuff. We're learning that more and more. The other thing that I liked about your video is I was like, you know, you guys can do this, you know, telling the audience, like, you know, everybody out there at a park in your city, there are communists making fools of themselves. You can film it and go viral and have the time of your life. Do you encourage people to do this sort of thing? And how would you suggest somebody get started in just absolutely defeating communists in arguments and going viral online?
Look, I'm not trying to be Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a nice guy and they shot him in the throat. I do stand-up comedy, Harrison. I tell dirty jokes in nightclubs on the weekend. I'm not here to be your buddy. If I see these people standing in the park trying to dismantle society, which is what they're trying to do, I'm going to let them know what I think of them. You know, the time for them to have a nice conversation with somebody is past. That's over, sadly. But, you know, remind them of who they are and what they are. You don't have to be nice to these people. They're not going to be nice to you. They're going to call you a Nazi. And the next time they take over the government, they're going to use the fact that they labeled you as a Nazi to take away your gun rights and your free speech, because why would we let Nazis have guns after all, right?
It's a good point. In fact, to quote a famous communist, I don't know if it's misattributed or not, but I believe it was Stalin that said, ideas are more dangerous than guns. I don't let people have guns. Why would I let them have ideas? It's a very poisonous mindset that these people have, and yet it is growing and people are being seduced by it. Let me ask you, as a sort of more traditional radio voice that's, you know, there on the air in Houston, do you change your messaging to fit sort of the wider public? So I feel like people that tune into InfoWars, you kind of got to go out of your way, usually to find InfoWars. So I'm pretty just straightforward with what I do. How do you change your message or how do you think about your message as you put it out over the radio, knowing that there's a lot of normies listening to you?
I'm the co-host of this radio show that's been on the air since 1983. And so I was born in 1982, so I wasn't always part of it. The original host of the show died many years ago, and Steve Johnson's this genius of doing voice work. And I don't want to ruin what the joke is of the show. For those that get it, they get it. But we're satire, right? Mm. But we really believe the opinions that we're sharing on the air. To suggest that we're normies or whatever would, you know, we call our audience the 10%ers because only about 10% of people understand the humor and the politics. And the remaining 90%, you know, they just probably think we're nuts. I think we're kind of a comedy version of what InfoWars does. If you get up early in the morning and you want to listen to something on the radio that you would find entertaining if you watch InfoWars, whether you watch InfoWars for serious political news or you just, you know, you like to blow off some steam, we're probably a good morning radio show for you because John Walton, the creator of the show, was an Alex Jones fan for years. And, you know, and that's fine. We don't take ourselves seriously. That's part of it. And I think it might be part of the reason why we've never really been a target, you know, thank God, God protect us over the years. But I think that when you're telling jokes, people are a little less bothered by what you're saying. A lot of our affiliates are rock and roll stations. Some of them are right-wing talk show stations. But no matter what station we're on, we're always considered to be the oddballs because we're doing comedy, we're doing satire, we're doing voices on the radio. You know, not to explain too deep behind the curtains, but there are times on the radio show where you think you're hearing several people talk and you're not. And, you know, for those that know and get it, they know. But if people want to research that more, they could probably understand a little bit of the magic or the mystique of the radio show without me ruining the fun and making it sound lame on the air.
You know what? I didn't realize, but until you just explained it, my dad used to listen all the time in Houston, and I know exactly what this radio show is. That's amazing. I haven't been in Houston in 12 years, so I haven't listened. But growing up, I know exactly who that is that you're talking about and the various voices. It's a very awesome, like, very funny format. Okay, that's very interesting. That's funny. I hadn't made that connection yet. So, yeah, humor is the way. I mean, it's the spoonful of sugar, right, to help the medicine go down. And I love using humor, and it's a very useful tool. But then at times I'm like, I really shouldn't be joking about this, man. We're talking about, like, the world burning. And, like, how do you know when to be serious and hardcore and when to make jokes of stuff? Because sometimes I feel like I'm downplaying what should be a very important thing, but it's necessary to get the message across. How do you strike that balance?
You know, it is, there's just a few things that I think are off limits, you know, dead babies and stuff like that. But honestly, people who have no control over war or the economy or oppression or crime need to laugh at this stuff. Communists are not smart people and they're all over the place. They think that seizing the means of production means stealing your Wi-Fi router password or that, you know, wealth redistribution involves taking your fries when you're not looking. They don't understand that these ideology, we've tried this over and over again. We tried it many times. Everybody understands. Fascism's bad. Right wing, far right, authoritarianism. They teach that in school. They're like, okay, but left wing authoritarianism isn't really that different. You go far enough to the left, you're back on the right. You go far enough to the right, you're back on the left. At the end of the day, I think that nationalism is important when it's about your actual country and that, defending free speech and the right to defend your, you know, defend yourself. These are common laws. These are natural rules of life that have existed since before Socrates, since before Jesus Christ that God instilled on us. And as long as we adhere to a basic set of rules, almost nothing's off limit. Nothing is a sacred cow. We can make fun of anything. In fact, if they don't want us to make fun of something, if they tell us not to make fun of something, whether it be religion or death or whatever it is, that's just going to make us do it more. And somehow, even though we've been canceled many times over the years, we're still on dozens of radio stations around the South. But, you know, maybe the genius of it is, Harrison, we fly just low enough below the radar that the only people that know we exist is a fairly massive talk radio audience, and the mainstream media kind of ignores us. And, you know, I know you guys don't have that luxury, unfortunately, you know.
Hey, it comes with the good and the bad. You know, it's a double-edged sword sometimes. But obviously you go viral with videos like you put up and that can break through and get to a much bigger audience. But, you know, you said something really interesting that I think a lot of our audience will resonate with, because I know I resonate with it, where you said libertarianism is sort of the ultimate goal. It's sort of the utopian goal, but you sort of understand it's not exactly applicable right now because the problems that we have to deal with require something other than, you know, hands-off libertinism. Like we have to get safety and peace and order first, and then you enjoy your peace in that construct, right? And can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because you just mentioned like libertarianism is the goal, because I'm the same way. Liberty is my ultimate goal. How we get there might change over the years, but that's always the ultimate goal. How is your, you know, how do you see libertarianism in the modern political landscape?
You know, free speech, right? Gun rights, the obvious stuff. Your money is your money. The government should have a limited amount of access to it. But when you become a corporation, the rules are different, right? The first time I ever met Alex Jones, it was 2005. I was working on the Man Cow Show in Chicago, Illinois. Alex came in with a group of people. I don't remember who was with him, but I remember vividly never meeting anyone like him before. I was a young kid right out of college, and Alex was talking about the same stuff then that you guys are talking about right now. And back then, we didn't realize how important this was. I think, George W. Bush Republicanism was trendy at the time. And again, I was working at a rock and roll radio station. I think for a lot of us, it didn't happen overnight. We had to go through the Ron Paul Revolution and realize there are parts of this ideology that work. But like Milton Friedman famously said, you can't have open borders with a welfare state. You can't have a welfare state with open borders, you know? It's not that we don't want to help people out, but America has a finite amount of resources. We can't fix the whole world. And starting off with that simple basic logic that America isn't, you know, Atlas Shrugged. We can't hold up the entire planet and think it's just going to last forever. Basic economics are exactly that. They're basic. But sadly, there are so many people right now that are being seduced by a system that sounds good, even though it's historically proven to almost never work, that people like Zohran Mamdani succeed sometimes, which is unfortunate. There's my buddy Mancow on the screen there. He got me into radio a long time ago. Him and Alex Jones are old friends. Mancow's been on this network many times over the years.
Yeah, those connections go way back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep expanding on what you're saying. You're saying that the system sounds good. That this, you know, the pie in the sky utopian vision of the communists and socialists is very compelling to young people. And again, it's like, as much as you can argue economics and economic theory, it's like when the rubber hits the road and these kids are graduating with $100,000 in debt and can't get a job, even though they're applying 6,000 times, they just want results. They just want something to be done, right? Theory and morality out the window. basically we're being trained that doing things the right way, doing things the way that you've been told, the way that you're supposed to as a responsible human is just stupid now, because you might as well be a grifter. You might as well be scamming people, because it seems like people who follow the rules get screwed over and people who break them get rewarded in this country. And people are learning that lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we have to start with mass deportation. Our country is filled with people now who want to destroy us. They're feeding off the system, you know, suckling off the government nipple. There is a fourth branch of the government. I think it's very obvious right now. Look, I don't know what's going on with Kash Patel's girlfriend. I thought that segment you guys did earlier was fascinating. We all wonder, but one thing is for sure, the fact that she's able to sue somebody for having an opinion, that's unbelievable. That's totally un-American. We know that in local government, there are Marxists that control your local media. There are Marxists who control your local newspapers, your local TV stations. Those people need to be outed. They need to be treated the same way we would treat a Nazi. Everybody understands Nazism and fascism was bad. Do the math, guys. The communists are worse. I don't like Nazis either. I get it. But the communists killed way more people. We need to clean up the government waste. Stop spending money we don't have. We're printing out fiat currency. People ask all the time, why is it the stock market's doing so well? Why is it Bitcoin keeps becoming more valuable? Is the stock market doing well, or is American currency just becoming worth less? I think that's the real answer. You know, is your 401k doing better, or is the money in your savings account just worth less than it was the day you got paid for it? And, you know, sadly, there's no way we could do any of this without securing the borders now. I'm in Texas. Houston, Texas is the human trafficking hub of America. Throw a rock in any direction and you'll find a work site or a massage parlor or a restaurant with people working in the kitchen or wherever they're working that are probably being forced into indentured servitude. A cartel member got them over the border, and back home, wherever they're from, be it Central Africa, Eastern Europe, Central America, wherever, China, wherever they're from, there is somebody holding a gun to one of their family members' heads, forcing them to work here in this country. And then finally, I'll end on this, because I'm a comedian. I don't claim to know how to save the whole world, but one thing I do understand is this. Liberals want higher wages for the working class, cheaper housing, cheaper access to health care. They also want everybody in the world to be able to walk over our border. You can have one of those things or you can have the other. You certainly can't have them both, Harrison.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, the entire construct is hypocritical and nonsensical. It's what's so bizarre. It's like they want all these things, but they refuse to do the obvious things that are necessary to get it back on track. So I agree with you. I think like simple things like deportation would solve a lot of these other problems that we wouldn't have to deal with that much. You know, other than that, what would you do? If I appointed you emperor of America right now, what would be your first order? If you were Trump, what would you do this moment?
Okay, I think the deportations are great. I understand this is a touchy subject at this point, because now we have video of, you know, we detained the wrong person for several hours before we figured out. And that's all the media talks about. We need to really stress the fact that for every rare instance where somebody is being targeted by ICE or targeted by the government that maybe people didn't think should have been bothered, there's a long list, a long slew of child sex offenders, convicted terrorists, people with narco terrorists, Islamic terrorists, people performing hideous crimes on women and children. And I sometimes just wonder if it's the messaging. Are we not getting it out fast enough to explain to people, okay, some woman in a hair salon got detained for several hours. You know, sorry about that. But in the same day that happened, we stopped a pedophile and a human trafficker. And isn't that more important? So the first thing I would do is that. Trump sometimes makes these points that upset liberals about how he would take away the broadcast license from some of these big, giant, faceless TV networks, news. Now, he did it the other day to ABC News. And people say it's a violation of the First Amendment or a violation of free speech. Look, Harrison, you and I work in broadcasting. If you go back to the root of how this whole thing started, the logic behind these airwaves, I'm on the radio, you guys are on some radio stations, that stuff isn't owned by iHeartMedia, it's not owned by InfoWars, it's not owned by, you know, Telecom or, Cumulus or whoever it may be. Those airwaves are owned by the people. They're specifically owned by the people. And so if there is constantly a TV network out there pushing a far left narrative or a far right narrative or something that's just completely in contradiction to what average people want. There is an argument to be made there that, you know, despite the results of the last election, this TV network is out here pushing the will of a foreign country. And that's a very scary thing to think about. Now, obviously, that's a fine line because at the same time, we don't want somebody to abuse that system. But these regulations and rules are already in place at the FCC, just like they're already in place at the DHS or, you know, with Customs and Border Patrol. The problem is for too long, we've just not enforced the laws. Somebody could get into trouble for showing their nipple during a Super Bowl show, but a halftime show. Everybody's familiar with that story. But, you know, where's the consequences for going on TV and pushing a fake political narrative to try to swing an election? It's a crazy thing.
That's actually a very pertinent comparison. That's very true. Because, yeah, you get sued for $10,000 for a wardrobe malfunction. But what happens when you lie day after day, hour after hour? Man, incredible stuff. Kenny Webster has been my guest. Kenneth R. Webster on X, at Kenneth R. Webster. And, of course, you can listen to him in Houston and around the country with The Pursuit of Happiness in the afternoons and the Walton and Johnson show in the mornings. Kenny, thank you so much for being with us. Keep up the great work, man.
Harrison, big fan, my man. Thanks for having me on. God bless you, brother.
I'll hit you up next time I'm in my hometown, Houston, Texas, the greatest city. The greatest city in the world. That's Kenny Webster. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere. Big, big final segment on the other side. We'll be right back.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants. Barring a miracle in the courts, InfoWars should be shut down somewhere close to January 1st. But that's just a website. It's just these studios. The InfoWar belongs to the people of America and the world. The population doing their own research, getting involved with the community, and studying what the globalists are doing, exposing them and resisting them. And we've come from basically 1% of the population knowing what was happening 31 years ago when I got involved in the fight, to close to half of the people, not just in America, but around the world, being incredibly awake and engaged and informed. So that's so exciting. And we have fought so hard together, that's why we've been targeted. Because the globalists want to take us off the air so that we can't continue to tell the truth. But this operation is just one manifestation of the InfoWars. So I want to thank all of you over the decades. InfoWars has been around 28 years for not just supporting the InfoWar, but being the InfoWar. Now, that said, the legendary shopping cart, InfoWarsStore.com, with all the great products that kept us on the air through all those fights, it's still up and operating. Everything is still being shipped out. Within a day or two of your orders coming in, and two of our fan favorites are available for the last time at InfoWarsStore.com. These just came in, brand new, fresh, Ultimate Fish Oil, the three certified best types of fish oil that do such incredible things for your body. Last up to 18 to 24 months, so you can also save it if you need to. And again, it is documented to be so good for your mind, your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and so much more. Fish oil, period, is great. Ours is the highest grade because it's been cold pressed, meaning it wasn't heated up or boiled. It wasn't homogenized. You get the full effect. That is back in stock for a limited time for 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's been out now for 8 years. Hard to believe that. When we first did this with a top manufacturer, no one else had ever done it. We went to them, we said, what's the strongest turmeric concentrate on the market? And they said about 75%, and we put it out. That's what we'd gone to them. We said, well, how high can you go? They said 95% curcuminoid. That's what is the thing that does the great effects of anti-inflammatory, overall health, immune system, you name it, in turmeric. They explained, listen, you don't need to go that high. Just raw tumor capsules are 4%, and people get amazing, amazing responses from it. 75 is just over the top. I said, no, go 95%. Now the industry all over the place has gone to 95% your humanoid. So we are continuing to trailblaze and be leaders in this. So it is your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site and the legendary fight. Thank you so much for your support. Now stock up while you can on Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I got a lot of videos to show you here in this final segment. Some good ones. I'm feeling a little uplifted by that that conversation. Well, both conversations, really. Elijah Schaefer, Will Sexton, and Kenny Webster. So people are waking up. People are realizing what's happening. It's just, how do we get that to percolate up to the people in power? How do we break through the firewall that seems to exist around Washington, D.C.? That is really, and it's mythical, practically. It's legendary. It's like magical, almost. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, like, you can take people who seem tailor-made to wreck the system, you send them into D.C., and they go through some sort of transformation, and they are different when they come out the other side. I'd say Trump has gone through this, too. I don't understand it. I don't get it. We've showed the videos yesterday. Donald Trump in 2015 going, oh, Epstein? Ask about the island. Ask Prince Andrew about that. Creepy dude. To suddenly 2025, he's like, Epstein who? What? I don't know who you're talking about. And it's like, what is happening? What sort of mind erasure ray is focused on Washington, D.C. right now? And how do we disable it? Because we need you people to continue to be patriots even when you're in D.C. What is happening here? I don't understand. I don't like it. So the people seem to be getting it. The people seem to be understanding. So I want to go to a few videos here of people, you know, understanding things. It's great. It's, you know, a lot of times we play videos of people being very stupid on this show. Let's change up. For a change of pace, we go now to people who are smart and know what they're talking about and are right. Let's go to clip 22 first. This, of course, is one of the things I railed against endlessly. The concept of democracy and how it's bad and we should acknowledge and recognize and let people know democracy is bad. It's not a good thing. It's not like the superlative, the best thing ever that we have to go to World War III to defend. It, in fact, sucks and should be destroyed. Let's go to clip 22 here.
Socrates argued that democracy inadvertently leads to a kind of self-mutilating tolerance. Today we might call it suicidal empathy. An inherent flaw of democracy is that it incentivizes politicians to become demagogues, meaning they say things that are popular rather than things that are successful. And an example of this is helicopter money, which is when the state prints money out of thin air and gives it to the people. So that's usually very popular in the short term, but in the medium term it actually causes inflation. So when a democracy devolves into a demagoguery, it basically becomes something like a popularity contest. So then power is no longer vested in the most competent candidate, but in the candidate who offers the most nice things. And according to Plato, that leads to a loss of respect for authority. So children disrespect their parents, students disrespect their teachers, and the people disrespect their rulers. Think something like a hesitancy to punish crime for fear of backlash, or in the name of tolerance. And this is where democracy turns into mob rule. And we can actually see symptoms of that. So there would be stagnating institutions or corrupted powers in the state or politicians who care more about the next election than they do about progress or leaders who become laughingstocks. But if everybody rules, then nobody rules. And so in this chaos, we start to seek order. But we know we're not going to get it with the politicians who got us into that mess in the first place. And so this creates an opening for an authority figure to come in and clean the house. So we don't actually hate being ruled. We just don't want to be ruled by someone we don't even respect. A 2024 study across 24 countries reported a median support for rule by a strong leader at 31%. And that number was higher in medium income regions like Latin America. Now, people often say that Latin America has a tendency to elect strongmen, but look at this study from France from 2025, where 48% of respondents agreed with the following statement. In a democracy, nothing advances. It's better to be less democratic and more efficient, meaning half the respondents in a nation that's usually hailed as a full democracy actually favor efficiency over democratic idealism. And the same study also found that only 28% of participants believed democracy works well in France. So when a democracy succumbs to its inherent flaws, which is corruption, high time preference, the incentive to spend the treasury, then that democracy loses its essence, and it basically becomes something like a corrupt monarchy with faceless kings. And why put up with faceless kings when you can install a real king instead?
Yeah, absolutely incredible work. Bring up that page again. I want to give her a shout out because I didn't know who posted this. I saw somebody repost it, but looks like the crew found her actual page. Lina Seiche, S-E-I-C-H-E, at L-I-N-A-S-E-I-C-H-E. Really incredible stuff. That's fantastic. And she's, of course, exactly right. And, you know, just reflecting. It's like she's reflecting the same things I say about democracy, but it's not because we're copying each other. It's because we're both reading, like, you know, ancient historians who figured this out 2,000 years ago, or the founding fathers who reasserted it back when they were designing their, you know, perfect Republican system. Yeah, democracy doesn't work, and it does, in fact, devolve into rule by the media, rule by who can pull your emotions more. And, of course, democracy really doesn't work when you import a new population. That is absurd. Then it becomes nothing more than a racial headcount, basically. And democracy just is whoever can, you know, inflate their population the fastest rules. And that's not a process by which any good event will ever occur. So why are we so suicidally dedicated to this? Suicidal empathy. It's a great term for it. Gateway Pundit actually has an article about this today. Democrats' compassion encourages rampant crime and the exploitation of migrants. Liberals and Democrats believe they're being compassionate when they support open borders. However, by doing so, they're not only encouraging crimes of illegal immigration, illegal residence, and illegal working among the associated with the associated tax evasion, they're also encouraging the exploitation of migrants. Of course, we all know this, but maybe we got to get back to basics. Maybe people don't understand what's actually going on because all they're fed are images of, like, families crying because their dad is being taken away, and it looks like Trump supporters are just, like, happy to be causing pain to people. But, like, no, the reason we want illegal immigrants deported, the reason they have to be deported, is because it makes democracy untenable, is because it raises house prices while lowering the amount you're being paid. It increases competition unfairly across, you know, entire industries, and whether it's houses or looking for jobs, it's not good for anybody. And the people are being exploited, and the worst people in the world, the cartels and human traffickers and drug dealers and, you know, devil worshiping mass murderers in Mexico, are the ones benefiting most from it. Again, it's like we shouldn't even have to make this argument because it's so absurdly obvious, but maybe we got to get back to basics on some of this stuff. Maybe that's how it works. Now, we're going to continue the trend of today's show of based ladies with Katie Hopkins, Lena, and now this lady. She describes the fall of Ben Shapiro in a way that I think is very... it's very wise, actually. Let's go to clip number 21. And this isn't about Ben Shapiro in particular, but it's about people like him. It's about why it doesn't work to argue in the way that he argues. And I think this is very insightful. Chase posted this, but I'll give you her name at the end. It's clip 21, The Fall of Ben Shapiro Explained. Let's watch.
Hi, honey butter. Why is the fall of Ben Shapiro so interesting? It's interesting because of this. The age-old adage, knowledge without wisdom, is worthless. It is like flying a kite with no string. You see, Ben made a career out of facts don't care about your feelings. Yet in the end of his career, he let his feelings take over his facts. This is because he's out of touch with his inner feminine. When a man is out of touch with his inner feminine, he exhibits qualities of unhealthy female. He whines, he blames others for his decisions, he gossips, he gaslights. Who does Ben blame? He blames Candace Owens, he'll blame people who aren't Christian, he blames America, but not himself. Masculine knowledge without healthy feminine discernment causes a man to be stuck in his unconscious emotions, even if he claims to be emotionless, which no one can actually be. Because the truth is, love, that wisdom is the higher distillation of feeling. We must all learn from each other in this archetypal situation. A sentimenti. Do you agree with this, my little croissant cutie? Let me know your thoughts below.
Look, she's a weirdo, but she's right. She's a weirdo, but she's right. She's on Instagram, it looks like, at Mary is Alien. And Mary is Alien. I thought that was kind of brilliant, to be honest with you. Kind of a brilliant take on how, you know, facts defeat your feelings, quickly become sort of blinded by your own feelings that you have warped and distorted and mistranslated in your mind to be facts because you believe them so strongly. That's fascinating. That I love. I have to admit, I really like that. Maybe not everybody does, but I'm into it. What can I say? Mary is Alien. Now, I want to explain something very bizarre going on in Australia now. Australia has got some problems. It's got some problems because the leadership in Australia is desperately trying to genocide its own people, and they're not taking it very well. Okay? It's moving along. Right, at a pace, they are systematically replacing their own people with imports from China and India, mostly since they're in the danger zone, in the southeast portion of the continent. So they're getting resistance. See, what happens when you deliberately try to destroy something that people love, when you deliberately try to tear down a nation who people's forefathers have fought and died for, you're going to get some pushback. And when you make any pushback of any level basically verboten and you crush it through social pressure, then the only people who are going to be confident enough and feel strongly enough to express themselves are going to be the radicals. Long story short, they got a Nazi problem. They're having a Nazi infestation because of, you know, the attempt to eradicate white people, and white people's self-defense goes up. You get Nazism, for, you know, lack of a better word, National Socialism. And so they're, you know, trying to crush this in a way that is not going to work, quite frankly, and in a way that is unenforceable, but very worrying when it comes to freedom of speech overall. And this is the thing about, I want to almost go back to like what Kanye was saying to Alex Jones when he was saying, I love Hitler and I love Jews and you can't tell me who I can hate. And we have to get over this whole Hitler obsession. There's something to that. There's something to that. Because when you decide that your new state religion is Holocaustianity and the new devil is Hitler, and the Nazis, therefore, are the premier example of everything wrong and bad and evil in the world, then you can get your population to go along with the idea that they need to be censored and they need to be shut up, because who would want the devil to talk? Who would want Satan himself to have free reign and free speech? But what are the characteristics that you're trying to eliminate? The Nazis believed a lot of horrific and despicable things, but they also talked about, you know, family, right? I mean, they also talked about like getting good jobs for their workers. Like you can say it was all a lie to get into power so they could really do their evil things. But at the end of the day, the question is, how are you going to make illegal an ideology that's so multifaceted and in some cases nuanced, or in other cases sort of vague? This is not a trail down which you can travel. That's why free speech is largely absolute. Because once you start delineating, once you start discriminating and saying, well, you are just saying your ideology, but it's an ideology we don't like. And well, now this ideology over here isn't the ideology we hate, but it's close enough that maybe it gets included. And suddenly it's just, you have to only say what is dictated on high by the government. Like now you're in full-fledged China social credit score, you know, digital gulag. We don't want that. And so, as we've said a million, billion, trillion times before, free speech means you have to hear things you don't like. It means people that disagree with you and that you might hate or might hate you, they get to talk and they get to say things that are offensive and they get to support policies that you consider evil. Sorry, that's the price you pay. That's the price we all pay for being able to think our own thoughts and live in a society where truth can be attained. It's pretty simple, actually. But they're trying to eliminate this. Let's go to clip 17. And hear about how in New South Wales, rather, Nazi characteristics will soon have you facing jail time. Let's watch.
Breaking news in New South Wales, where people who invoke Nazi characteristics could soon face jail time and a hefty fine. Under the new laws to be introduced today, publicly displaying support of Nazism could result in up to a year in prison or an $11,000 fine. It comes after 60 neo-Nazis protested outside state parliament earlier this month.
So they protested. You saw the videos there. Harrowing stuff. White men standing in a line. I mean, my God. Forget the First Amendment. Forget free speech. There are white men with a sign. They've got to be stopped. Again, ridiculous, absurd. What does it actually mean? What actually defines being a Nazi? I guess this is just sort of an inverted way of truly establishing Judaism as the state religion, because I imagine that's the primary focus of concern, right? I guess what it means, it's sort of a nice catch-all. Like, it'd be inconvenient to, like, ban anti-immigrant language and, you know, ban pride in your heritage and, you know, ban whatever else, like ban being anti-Jewish. Like, there's like a lot of different things to ban. How about you just ban Nazism and then just whatever you don't like, you call Nazism? That seems pretty convenient, right? So criticism of Judaism. Well, you know, you might not be a Nazi, but Nazis were also anti-Jewish. So therefore, a year in prison for you. Okay. This is ridiculous. Now, luckily, there are still a few people in Australia, and even, get this, in Australian Parliament, that understand the absurdity of trying to ban something like, quote-unquote, Nazism. Okay, so let's go to clip 14 here. This is Australian politician Mark Latham talking about how ridiculous it is to suggest banning something like an ideology from 100 years ago. Let's watch.
Thank you, President. The present vast economic development is leading to a change in the social stratification of the nation. The small industries are gradually dying out, making it rarer for the workers to be able to secure a decent existence and visibly drive him to become one of the proletariat class. The outcome of all of this is the factory worker, whose essential distinguishing mark is that he is practically unable in later life to take up life as an individual. In the truest sense of the word, he is possessionless. Old age means him suffering and can hardly be called a life at all. Now, they could be the words of who? A Labor MP? A trade union official? The official policy of the ACTU? A statement endorsing the need for superannuation? One of the great reforms of the Keating government? It's an interesting passage, and it highlights how difficult it is actually to define an ideology, given that an ideology is incredibly broad. Even the most evil has statements that are seemingly innocuous that can be equated with a different political party, a movement of a different kind in a different era. It's a statement that really highlights the challenge of the Attorney General in trying to define Nazi ideology and outlaw with fines and police arrests and jailing of people who might read out things in the public spaces, not here in the Parliament, but in the public space, that are associated with the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler. The passage I've read out is at page 126 of Mein Kampf, which, of course, is unthinkable and a terrible, terrible book. I actually got it from the Parliamentary Library. They haven't burnt it down there, ironically enough. And it highlights statements and reminds us, those who are not ahistorical, that in the 1930s, large parts of the Western political establishment thought that what Hitler was doing in Germany in bringing down hyperinflation, in state-led economic development, sort of like that statement, and in strong law and order policies, all things that most government leaders in Australia would endorse today, were welcomed around the Western world. The horror.
So pretty incredible stuff. Reads out a portion of Mein Kampf, pointing out that it aligns pretty much perfectly with the modern ideology of the Labour Party in Australia. Mark Latham, Australian politician. Again, and you know, it's interesting, you know, these weird, like, we don't have it in America where you have different levels of speech, but he's like, you know, the way he references, like, well, I'm reading it out here in Parliament. Like, it's different than out there in public. Out there in public, you can't read this sort of thing, but we're Parliament. We get to read whatever we want. He says, they haven't burned that book, ironically enough. That's pretty interesting. So I guess banning an ideology is kind of a Nazi thing to do, isn't it? I guess if you're arguing that an entire ideology should be banned and their books should probably be burned, I mean, that's kind of a Nazi position to have. So I guess if you are in favor of banning the Nazis, you're kind of doing the thing that the Nazis did that made them so bad, right? Controlling people's thoughts, you know, using the government in this authoritarian way to dictate people's personal views. I mean, isn't that what we hate about Nazis? So ironically, you're doing the Nazi thing in an attempt to fight Nazis, because it's not really about Nazism, is it? It's not really about authoritarianism, is it? It's about controlling speech. You actually literally, and this is the thing, like people think it's like cliche or something to say like, they're the real Nazis, you know, or whatever. But like, guys, they're the real Nazi. Like, they are the ones that want to adopt all of the policies from the Nazis that we went to war with them over. Right? We didn't go to war to stop the death camps. We didn't know about that till after. We went to war because of the ideology of totalitarianism and authoritarianism that was sweeping through Europe, and we wanted to stop that because we believe in individual rights, individual responsibilities, and a free market and things like that. So they're racing towards the, you know, ideologically Nazi end of the spectrum by trying to ban Nazism. So it's the same thing we see over and over. Now, I don't have too much time. I want to get to at least one more clip here. Let's go to clip 19, because I got to give credit to Ron DeSantis. I did not realize some of the things that he's doing and achieving in Florida, and I find it very inspiring and an example of somebody that is not disappointing me like so many other Republicans, somebody that sees the possibility of the government using its authority and power to actually benefit their side of the aisle, actually benefits conservatives, benefit conservatism, and make tangible changes to government-aligned institutions that benefit the people of Florida and the voters of Ron DeSantis. So kudos to Ron DeSantis. Hats off to him for actually doing things that Republicans just routinely refuse to do. Use the government for the benefit of the people. Thanks, Ron. What a novel idea. Let's go to clip 19 now.
Reform so that now in Florida, at our public universities, all tenured professors must undergo review once every 5 years and can be terminated for poor performance. So you see professors leaving Florida, the media, well, they don't talk about the ones we recruit in. They talk about leave. Oh, a brain drain. And I think to myself, Marxist professors leaving Florida is not bad for Florida. That's a good thing for Florida. And so we're doing that. And we're also establishing civic institutes like our Hamilton Center at University of Florida, like our Adam Smith Center for Economic Freedom at Florida International University. I even have a liberal arts college called New College that was basically a Marxist commune when I became governor. Left of the left, no grades, low enrollment, low scores. I actually wanted to close it because it's honestly, it's valuable real estate right there in Sarasota. But there, the community liked it. So I'm like, all right, if we're going to fund it, I filled the board with conservatives. They fired the president. They hired a conservative president. They were the first school in America to eliminate DEI. They abolished gender studies. And they said, we are going to be a classical liberal arts college. And so now the enrollment's high, test scores are up, and we're going to be the best liberal arts college in the country for conservatives. If we not already are, we will be very, very soon.
You love to see it, folks. You love to see it. There is a liberal arts college. Excuse me. So we took it over, replaced the staff, and now it's conservative. Well, you can just do that? Yeah. No, we can literally just do that. We can do that 1,000 times, and then 1,000 universities will start pumping out thousands of graduates who haven't been brainwashed, who haven't been, had their minds destroyed by the leftist mind virus. You can actually just do things. And it's amazing to see. And it's an example that we can point to and go, we know it's possible. And of course, we know it's possible anyway, because the left goes absolutely insane and does crazy crap all the time, and they always get away with it. Folks, that's about going to do it for us. I do want to remind you one more time to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com, we have massive specials on right now. You get $10 off your order, no minimum spend, immediate $10 on the Ultramethylene Blue. I don't even know if we have Ultramethylene Red in yet, but that's been one of my favorite products. But we've got the Shilajit gummies. We've got the CMOS gummies. And no matter what you order, you get $10 off and a free flag. And so it'll be a random choice, but it's nothing but good options. Don't Tread on Me flag, the Alex Jones flag, all sorts of very cool designs in a number of different colors. And you get one absolutely free when you purchase anything from thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, you get 25 times the entries to win the badass new Jeep 392 and $10,000 in cash. You can be entered to win that at 25 times if you shop in the next 2 days. You get the free flag, $10 off, and more. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I'll see you here tomorrow.
We have a sale going until Friday evening at midnight where you get $10 off at checkout. No promo code, just $10 taken off on top of all the sales. And you get a free Patriot flag. Randomly, there's four flags we have left in stock. They're ordering more. Gas and flags, you name it. Get a free flag. But the real reason you want to go there is because the supplements are so incredible. And we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, t-shirts, all of it. But the ultramethylene blue, you're crazy if you don't get it. We have the best. It is such a game changer. Huge pick-me-up with no letdown. You've seen the rave reviews. You've read the rave reviews. This is not hype. You are really missing out if you don't go to theallshowstore.com. And get ultramethylene blue, get the Irish Sea Moss, get the Shilajit. We have all the best. Oh, yeah, creatine came in. We have the highest quality creatine. A lot of just basic staples are there. The very strongest, best turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Great natural fat burner. Also makes you feel great. Ultimate burn. You want beef tallow? We got beef tallow balm. People love it. It's all there. Optimal Human. Wow, the best, strongest green drink out there. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for all your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And when you have the free Droid or Apple app at AlexJonesApp.com and you buy through the shopping cart there, additional 20% off and everything on top of that. That's insane.
Happy Thanksgiving from the InfoWars crew. Turkey stuffing and some methylene blue. Pumpkin pie with a dash of whipped cream. Defeating the globalist is our number one dream. TheAlexJonesStore.com for your gifts. Fight Bill Gates, Fauci, and Shifty Schiff. Thanks for your support all through the years. Happy Thanksgiving and holiday cheers.